been checking your schedules, because today is the penultimate shiur on Hilchos Nida. So soon we'll have to get into Chazara mode. We're up to, let's quickly finish up the simon, and then maybe we'll fill in other things. Sif Mem, if I recall correctly. And Sif Mem is something I already mentioned before. Baal Peh. Says the Shulchan Aruch. This is not found mefurish in the Gemara, but it's in the Ravid and from there the Rashba and the Rosh. It's found in all the mainstream Rishonim. Sorech laham al gabi Yehudis gedol yosu yud bei shanav yom echad b'shashi toveles. You have to have a mikvah lady watching the tevila who is Jewish and adult. Why b'shashi toveles shetiresh li yishar misar ro shatzaf al piyamayim. Who checks that all the hair went underwater, right? So the problem is, if some of your hair is not underwater, that's not just a shayla of chatzitza and miyud and machbin and drabonans, etc. If part of your body is not underwater, that's the oraisa. It's just none of maisa tvila bichlal. So that's very clever. One of your hairs is floating on the water. That means the top surface of the hair is exposed to air and not water. That's not a tvila at all. That's not even a shayla of anything. It's as if you never went to the mikvah. So therefore, you have to have a mikvah lady who's checking to make sure that your hair went underwater. The post can point out, and this is obvious, well, two things. First of all, says the Pesach Tshuva and Pidyeved. Oh, yeah, before we get to Pesach Tshuva. The post can point out, it's not enough for there to be a, why does it have to be a woman? So the reason it has to be a woman is just for tzitzis. But why does it have to be Jewish and more than Bat Mitzvah, because you need Eirecha Nem Bisurin. You need someone kosher for Eirecha Nem Bisurin here. So it can't be an 11-year-old. Because even if you trust she's telling the truth, she's not Nemen for Isurin. The post can point out also, therefore, it has to be someone from. Because it has to be someone who's Nemen for Isurin. If the person is Machal Shabbos, or the person doesn't keep Hilchos Nida, then they're not Nemen on this. So therefore, you have to have, the Shulchan Aruch didn't write it, because it was obvious, but it has to be a Jewish adult from lady who is the mikvah lady. Okay, we're not going to go into exactly how firm she has to be, but in all mikvahs that I've heard of, she's firm enough. V'im'ein la misha tamil gaba. What if she has no mikvah lady? Oh, shehu b'layla, or it's nighttime and the mikvah lady can't see. Not meaning you're in a river, and the mikvah turns the lights on. But you're in a river, and the mikvah lady can't see in the nighttime, then what do you do? Tichroch sara al rosha, then you have to just put something to keep your hair down. And what kind of thing? Obviously a ruffly thing, even though l'chachil, we try to avoid having ruffly things in our hair, but this is a shasad chak. So what can you use? And it just causes from the beginning of the simon, chutei tzemer, tzusha barosha, strings, or wool strings, or leather straps, v'bacha t'rapin, that you loosen, osha shirosha, chutei chalulos, or hollow netting types of straps. Okosher is bigger. Raphael Sarasehu, or just take a kerchief and put it on your hair in a way that is roughly. And then basically you put a roughly hair net of one type or another. That's make sure it's roughly, and that's what you do if you have no mikvah lady. There is another option we pointed out that the Noda Behuda said, if there's no mikvah lady, her husband could be the mikvah lady. Let's say they're stuck someplace and there's enough light to see. Her husband could be the mikvah lady, because even though he's looking at her when she's a nida, she's about to be tahora, the Bach actually says, what if you have a choice between two plan Bs? Plan A is a regular mikvah lady. Plan B is either the husband or just tie a loose hairnet of some sort. What if you have a choice between those two? It's not obvious to me, Misvara, which to do, but the Bach says, better the husband, even though it's a little bit of a compromise in Sneos, better the husband than a loose hairnet, because you can only trust the hairnet so much, so better the husband. Okay, what if the wife was like super duper, you can't handle having the husband see her? So okay, we'd let her go with the hairnet, it's just better. But she needs one of these solutions. What if she has none of these solutions? She just stomp tovels? Says the Pesach Tshuva, quoting the Rebbe Kivayegra, it's ma'akev b'dievet. Whoa, that's pretty chomer. However, he says at the end, and here you always have to read the fine print. Right? What does it say at the end of this Pesach Tshuva in the fine print? He says, see Sidrei Tara Sifkatan Ayin Tes. I don't know if anyone tried. We're in a rush now, so probably no one tried to see the Sidrei Tara. If they did, I apologize if they got a little confused, because the Sidrei Tara changed the name of his book when he moved into the halachas of Tefillah, the last two simanim. he changed it to Shiyuri Tara. So in the back of mine, it says Sidri Tara, and then it starts saying Shiyuri Tara. Same book, he just changed the title because a lot of people like consider Hilchas Nida and Hilchas Tvila, not any halachically, it's just a matter of what you call it, to be like different units of Shulchan Aruch. So therefore he thought, I need a new name for new units, so we call it the Shiyuri Tara, because what's left over. And if you look in the Sidri Tara, that he's Mitzayin, he says, not so Pashek, he quotes it to Tiferes Shmuel on the Rush, who says that if you're super duper stuck, no mikvah lady, no husband mikvah lady, no hairnet, if you're really, really good and you're not afraid of water and you're comfortable and you make sure to just go way deep and make sure to put your hands over your hair like this to make sure it all goes down, then you can rely on that b'shas adchak, and therefore there is a fourth option. So the options are, number one, mikvah lady, number two, husband lady, number three, loose hairnet of one sort or another. And number four, if you're really stuck with the Sidri Tara, close to the Tiferes Shmuel, that you just, if you're comfortable in water, then you go all the way down and you make sure to use your hands to make sure your hair goes all the way down. And then you can be Tahor. But if you're not makbid at all, then even the Bidiyevit, she's Tameya. Just, we all know, hair floats. It's a law of physics. Okay. Mem Aleph. This is a controversial line in the Shulchan Aruch. Why is it a controversial line in the Shulchan Aruch? Because it's a controversial line in the Gemara. Some Rishonim have this line in the Gemara, such as the Rambam, and some Rishonim don't have any such line in the Gemara at all. Like, it's just, it's in some Rishonim's Gemaras, not in others. But since the Rambam has it, we bring it down. Hamaf Shelep and Allah Chora, someone who swings her son, meaning a baby, behind her, right? They used to walk with their kids behind them. She Aruma, when she's naked, Betavla, right? She sees that. We've all been in this situation where you have a babysitting crisis, right? She has to go to the mikvah, and what does she do with the baby? So she brings the baby along. Okay, but she brings the baby into the water with her and tovas, but also the tevila. Bidi evidence ma'akev. Why? What's so bad about the baby? Right? The baby, let's assume the baby will hold on loosely, or there'll be water in between. She'll take care of that. No, shema hayatit ragli atina could be other. Babies are always dirty. He might have mud on his hands or feet. V'nidbak be'imo, and then it gets stuck to his mother. We all know mothers with toddlers are always dirty, because the babies get dirty and stick it onto them. And it chotzeitz, and even if she checks later and says, I'm clean, no, maybe it's chotzeitz, and after she came out of the mikveh, it fell off. So that's a big chumrah. That is a big chumrah, says the shachir in Sivkot Nun Gimel, v'abach pasach, the osola tvila. Okay, this is just a matter of girsa. The Rambam and the Rach had this girsa. Most Rishonim didn't have the girsa. So the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, minority girsa, it's ma'akev, says the Bach, but the majority girsa has no such halacha. So therefore it's not ma'akev. Halacha l'maisa doesn't really come up so much. The Achronah argue back and forth and say, like, well, she should go back again if she can, but if it's already the next day, then she's potter, but it doesn't really come up. When they're old enough to be uncomfortable with it and understand that there's something weird about it. Not a baby. Mem beis. Nitnus utsruus uksamim sitkir elemi lamata chotzim. If sticks and stones and dirt got into the crevices of her foot, I assume even between the toes, underneath, then they are chotzeis because that gets squeezed very hard. And it is a tight chatzitza. So you have to be careful that there's nothing in your toes when you tovel. Okay, that's nowadays, in old days, probably not a common thing. Ispolanus mulugmoritia, which are different kinds of poultices and bandages, right? Bandages and creams and stuff like that. Shal beis haskarim, that are in the beis haskarim. Chotzitzim. We know this already. Even though the base of star doesn't require the water to go in, it needs to be fit for the water to go in. It's okay, we already learned this a million times. You don't need to get water inside your mouth or the other base of star, but it needs to be fit for water to go in. So if you have a bandage, I mean, in your mouth, I don't know how likely it is, but, you know, or inside your nose or something, then, or some other, all the way inside your ear, we'll get to the darn soon, then that is a problem. Okay, we'll come back to these things, some of these practical things in a moment. Here, I guess, here is a good opportunity to point out a famous kula of Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's a famous discussion in the Poskim. Where is this Rav Moshe Feinstein? Ooh. And I just looked at it. Okay, I don't remember. Yoredei Chilek Aleph. Rav Moshe finds in Yoredei Chilek Aleph, it's in more than one siman. He has the following big chish. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, it was asked about the following question. Big deal in all the poskim for a long time. What about there's sometimes a woman, you have a hole in your eardrum or something, you can't get your ears wet. Right? I don't know if anyone ever, even nowadays this is a thing that happens sometimes, you can't get your ears wet. It's a big problem. So how do you go swimming? You put on earplugs, Seder. How do you go to the mikvah? So again, some people, you can't get your ears wet, but it's not the end of the world if it gets wet for like 1 second. So instead of, we'll see, people have done twice, three times, seven times, etc. You dunk once really as quick as you can, and beseder. But what are some who mamish can't get their ears wet at all? Right? The doctor says, no getting your ears wet at all. I assume he says, not go to the swimming pool with earplugs. And if they fall out, okay, then you go put them back in. No, you mamish, you'll lose your hearing if you get your ears wet. Right? So then what do you do about mikvah? So there's a big discussion of the poskim. Can you put a cotton ball in, or sometimes even the cotton ball is not enough, because the water will get through the cotton ball in like 2 seconds. Put a cotton ball with Vaseline or something, right? So it protects against the water, at least for a few seconds. But that's a chatzitza, right? So this is a big discussion. There is the Har Tzvi is Mekel. If you leave the cotton ball in for a week, then maybe you could say it's like there for a long time and it's necessary and all kinds of kulas. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you could be Mekel. And I think that Minhag, certainly in America, in our circles, is like Rav Moshe. Why? He has a tremendous chiddush. He has a tremendous chiddush, and we rely on the chiddush of Rav Moshe when we are really stuck. His chiddush is this. You can't have a chatzitza in Beis Hastarim, but you don't need Bias Mayim. So, for example, your body can be chotzit on the Beis Hastarim, right? Meaning I can close my mouth so the water doesn't go in. Can't close it hard, but we paskin that's because that'll also close the outer lips. So, yeah, I'm allowed to block the water from Beis Hastarim. I'm just not allowed to have a chatzitza. So what does it mean? I'm allowed to block the water but not have a chatzitza. Like, what's the difference? So says Rav Moshe, it's like this. You're allowed to block the water from the Beis Hastarim. You're just not allowed to have a cheft of chatzitza on the gulf. Let me say better. As a gavra, he doesn't say it this way. You're allowed, the gavra is allowed to have the water blocked from reaching her Beis Hastarim. But the cheft of the gulf has to be a cheft of the gulf that doesn't have anything on it. Meaning, you can't have a chatzitza that's considered on your guf, but you can have something that just blocks the water. Says Rav Moshe, big chiddush, if you would stick a band-aid into the Beis Hastarim, or stick glue into the Beis Hastarim, or wedge something super tight into the Beis Hastarim, then that would be considered a cheftish of chatzitza, because it's considered a chatzitza attached to your guf. But if you would put something not attached to your guf in the Beis Hastarim, something not attached to your guf in the Beis Hastarim, then that's not a chatzitza, because it's not attached to your guf. Oh, it blocks the water. Doesn't matter that it blocks the water. You don't need the water to get to your Beis Hastarim. That's Rav Moshe's big chiddush. He says, and in Rav Moshe Yoredei Chilek Aleph, he says, I forget the siman, I apologize, but I can look it up for you if you want. He says, you're allowed to have something blocking the Beis Hastarim as long as it's not attached to your guf. Because then your guf is roy to be as mayim. Just because there's something blocking the water, the situation doesn't have to be roy to be as mayim. Just the guf has to be roy to be as mayim. So as long as nothing's attached to the guf, we don't care if something's blocking the water. Just like my teeth have to be roy to be as mayim, but I can close my mouth. Oh, how's that roy to be as mayim? Because the teeth themselves are roy to be as mayim. Just my mouth's blocked. My lips are blocking the water. Likewise, in the air itself is royal bias mayim. There's just a cotton ball blocking the water. And the cotton ball is not attached to the air, because even if you squish it in, it's not squished in hard. You wouldn't say it's attached. It comes out very, very easily. And that's where Moshe's big chiddush, that in the Beis Hastarim, it's okay to have something blocking the water that's not attached, because it's attached to your body, the cheft of your body is royal bias mayim. It's just a side problem if the water doesn't get there. And the water doesn't need to get there. That's Rav Moshe's big chiddush. Therefore, says Rav Moshe. Now, says Rav Moshe, where do you put the cotton ball? Right? You don't put the cotton ball like over here. And even if you did, if some of this cotton ball touches here, it's loose. You stick the cotton ball inside. not so far inside this blah, blah, blah. Because you're not supposed to stick it so far inside, and besides, you get blocked by the eardrum. But you stick it far inside, so there's the base hastarim. It's not someplace that's always easily noticed. So if you stick a cotton ball inside, even with Vaseline, so it blocks the water, but it doesn't block the water because it's stuck to your body. It just blocks the water because it happens to be a waterproof object. Cotton ball with Vaseline. Therefore, Moshe's Nikel, if you can't tovel with, if you can't get water in your ear, then you can even put a cotton ball with Vaseline and put it inside your ear in the base hastarim, and it's mutter, and even though it blocks the water from base hastarim, it's okay to block the water from base hastarim as long as you're not attached, it's not attached to the base hastarim. Okay, where to draw the line between attached and blocking is subtle, and he deals with it. That's where Moshe's big kiddush, and halacha l'maaseh, we can rely on that if we're stuck. What do you mean if you're stuck? If tomorrow you're going to go to the doctor and he's going to do something and let you and change your diagnosis, you know, change your matzav, then okay, wait for tomorrow. Okay, you know, you'll live. But generally, people are stuck with this. This is not something like for, generally not like for one day, don't get one in your ears. It's usually a big deal. So therefore, it says, Ramoshi, you can make up, and this is the big chiddush, you're allowed to block the water from Beis HaStarim, just as long as it's not attached to your body. Because then your body's still raw. If you would take out the cotton ball, it would be raw, it would be a smayin. As opposed to, if you stick something there, then what do you mean? That's considered on your body. Your body's not raw, it would be a smayin. Okay, that's where Moshe's tremendous kiddush. Where else is this relevant? Give me a second. He says in another tshuva, the most common forgetting shayla ever. What is the most common things women forget to remove when they tovel?
Contact lenses.
Contact lenses. Why? Because everything else, they have five chances to remember to remove, right? At home they remove, and then they remove when they get to the shower, and when they finish the shower and everything. The contact lenses, you can't remove in advance because you need them to see when you do your chafifa, when you go to the mikvah, when you're, you know, you can't see. So therefore, your contact lenses, you always remove at the last minute. If you have to remove at the last minute, then we all know you're going to forget to remove them. I know if I was a woman, I would for sure, and I had contact lenses, I for sure forget to remove them. Okay, so what some women do is, on mikvah night, they leave their contact lenses home and wear glasses. Hey, don't remember to remove their glasses. They feel them. The mikvah lady will say, hey, you're wearing glasses. But not everyone has glasses. So, what if a woman forgot to remove her contact lenses? Very common case. She forgot to remove her contact lenses. So, says Rav Moshe, the contact lenses aren't stuck to your eye. They come off very easily. They're just next to your eye. I understand. There's a little bit of adhesion there, just like the cotton ball has a little bit of pressure. But they're not stuck to your eye. You don't need to like peel the contact lens off your eye like a Band-Aid. No, you just like flick them out. So, says Rav Moshe, contact lenses are in a base hastarim. The eyeball is a base hastarim. Why? Because it's not always visible, because you close your eye and then you can't see it. That's clear. The eyeball is a base hastarim. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, it's not a chatzitz in base hastarim. It's just blocking the water in base hastarim. Not to mention the fact that sometimes it might not even block the water. But, says Rav Moshe, if a contact lens is a non-attached chatzitza beis hastarim, which is not a problem, that's part of Moshe's kula. The main two nafkaminas of his kula are cotton balls in the air with Vaseline. He says without Vaseline, it'd be even easier. Contact balls in the air with the cotton balls with Vaseline in the air and contact lenses. I'm sure there are many other examples. He says mutter, not a problem. Halacha l'maisa, okay, my mesorah from my rebbeim, is that this Rav Moshe, we only rely on if we're really stuck. It's a chiddush. Therefore, if a woman toveled in contact lenses, she remembers she could go back to the mikvah, she should go back to the mikvah. Even b'dieved, we won't rely on Rav Moshe if she could go back to the mikvah. Ah, oh, it's a pain, and it's not nice, and it's no fun, and it's annoying to have to go, but she was home ready for whatever, and now she has to drive back to the mikvah and not forget herself. Okay, that's life. The next time she won't forget. But let's say it's too late to go back to the mikvah, it's the next day, or the mikvah's already closed, and she can't go back to the mikvah, then we're makel based on Rav Moshe, and if she left her in her contact lenses, we can rely on that tevilah. And if she has no choice but to put the cotton in her ear, and if she has no choice, then we can rely on that tevilah. So that's a very important kula to know from Rav Moshe.
How are contact lenses not attached to your eye?
Do you have contacts? Okay, I don't, so you know better than I do. Are they like, when you take out your contacts, is it like taking off a Band-Aid that's like stuck and you have to unstick it?
It's not sticky.
It's just, obviously, if I go like this, they don't fall out. Right? We all know that it's a little stuck, but it's not mamish glued like other things that are mentioned as chatzitzas, like a bone between your teeth, which Mamshin's forced to. You don't need force to take out your contact lenses.
Right.
I think that's the point. If you don't need force to take it out, that's where Moshe's cooled up.
I would say it depends on how long you left it in, if you fell asleep or whatever.
Okay, so at least in most cases.
How long is the time period to say that that's like a permanent issue to allow the cotton balls?
You have to use your judgment. It all depends on the people.
No,
someone's the firmest guy ever, and he says, you know what, I don't want to use any kulas. I'm going to wait. And then, okay, you have to, in all these things, you have to know who you're dealing with.
Like if it's a three-month span, that this is going to be a problem. Is that a long enough time? Is that
then for sure, you're then pushing your makeup. Yeah, yeah. Now, the only borderline is what's a few days, whatever. Then you have to know where to draw the line. For example, if someone's going to the mikvah tomorrow, I'd be very, you know, I'd say, okay, maybe don't rely on this.
It's more than a month.
Yeah, even more than, even a couple days for sure. Anyway, Lamaisa, if we need to, we're somewhat on this for Moshe. It doesn't have to be a long time.
So why didn't you ever know that, like, little pieces of stuff that are stuck on you, which get washed off the mikvah? Like, we were saying beforehand, like, some dirt that might have been from the baby that was on her, and she didn't realize maybe got washed off the mikvah?
No, not that it got washed off the mikvah. It got stuck in the mikvah, and then when she got dressed afterwards, she knocked it off. But it was stuck. It was dipped. It was mud. Mud gets stuck. If it got stuck, how'd it get knocked off afterwards? So it's a big chumrah, the rechosh, that even stuck mud gets knocked off afterwards if you hit it the right way.
Right, but like, so I guess that's considered really stuck.
But also, that wasn't based on starting.
No, I'm just clarifying, like, what these things
are. So what about the mud? I'm not sure about the mud. Depends, there's mud and there's mud.
I think also contact lenses are permeable.
Right, so that's the other thing. So contact lenses might actually let the water in mamish, so they might be even better. Correct.
But we still say...
Yeah, we'd still tell her to go back if she can. We'd still tell her to go back if she can. Now, again, all these things you have to use your judgment. Whenever it's one of these skins that's not open and shut, you always have to use your... You can't make a rule, like be a robot. Like, oh, like my Rebbe said, like it depends on exactly this time. You have to know who you're dealing with. And some people, you know, you have to know your situation. You have to use common sense in these things. When something's pashat usher, so it's pashat usher. When something's pashat mutter, it's pashat mutter. When something's a judgment call, it depends how much v'shas adchak. You always have to use your common sense and understand the situation to the best you can. Obviously, we're only human beings, but you have to remember to be a human being. Okay, so that's a very, very important psaka of Rav Moshe. Mem Gimel, Ramah. We didn't read the Ramah yet. Yesh Omer She'isha Tzricha Lahatel Mayim Kom Tfilasa. Okay, if you read this inside, yeah.
Sorry, just for delays. If she then calls you and says, like, oh, I found out, and like, how long do we say, like, oh, you have to do all the chafifa again and all the preparation again? Or how much do we say, like, oh, you know, you did the shower already, you did all these other things already, you could just do a little quicker version and jump back in?
Yeah, if she's going back to the mikvah, she doesn't have to do all the preparations again. I mean, unless she came home and started, playing the sandbox, I don't know. Depends what she did. If she came home and she started finger painting, then you're in trouble. But assuming a normal case that she came home, she didn't do anything terribly dirty. So usually you come home at night, you're not finger painting and you're not doing pottery,
you let the dough rise while you're in the mixer, you come home and want to bake.
Yeah, correct. Okay, so, but generally not. Okay, says the Ramah, if anyone looked inside in the Darkei Moshe of this, which happens to be in the next siman, he quotes a very strange Shariduro who brings a very strange rai we're not going to get into. But Yesh Omer She'isha Tzricha Lahatel Mayim Kom Tfilasa. She has to urinate before she totals. Imi Tzricha L'kach, meaning she has to check. She doesn't have to, only if she has anything. Gam Tzricha L'kach Gedolim Ketanim. She has to check both Gedolim and Ketanim, right? Both if she has to move her bowels and if she has to urinate. Why? She looks at Tzricha L'atzer Asmak. She shouldn't be holding it in. V'lo Yeru'i L'bias Mayim, and then it won't be Roi L'bias Mayim. She also has to remove her mucus from her nose. Okay, so the first issue here is that she has to check and go to the bathroom she needs to before going to the mikvah, so she won't be holding it in. What's so bad if she's holding it in? So here, it's a big machlokas. What's so terrible if she's holding it in? So the Ramah is not 100% clear. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, because very rare case, very far out chashash, maybe it'll be like almost coming out, and it'll be mamish like at the borderline of her body, and then it will be a chatzitza. Because if it's inside the body, there's not inside the body, it's not a chatzitza. I can have whatever I want in my internal organs, that's not a chatzitza. But maybe it'll be like mamish at the petach, and then it will be a chatzitza. Okay, that's a pretty rare occurrence.
But doesn't he say right in the Israeli language would imply that we're talking about beis hastar?
No, so at the petach there's a beis hastar. I mean, inside is balua, outside is regular. Mamish at the borderline is a beis hastar.
But then wouldn't that be a question of Ramosha?
What?
Shouldn't it be a question of Ramosha?
No
one would say that Toa or urine while in your body is going to be chutzit.
It might be taka, meaning here it's certainly not glued. It is a good question. I'm not sure. I don't remember if Moshe addressed this. He might say that this is only a minhag of a chumr b'alma, but I'm not, or he might say a different shot. Rabbi Kivi Eger says, no, that's ridiculous. Rabbi Kivi Eger says, although this is dochuk in the lashon Aramah, but it's fine for Moshe. Rabbi Kivi Eger says, that's not the problem. It's not the soa that's the chatzitza. It's not the Meirag Lion that's the chatzitza. Especially since Meirag Lion, like, how can Meirag Lion be a chatzitza? It's just a liquid. Like, it just gets dissolved into the water. Right? It's, like, soa tenach, even that. But, and also, like, what do you mean Meirag Lion to be on the, exactly on the outside? Like, it's, either it's in or it's out. He says that's very strange. It can't be that the Meirag Lion of the Tzoa is the Chatzitza. I'm not saying he's trying to be Ruch HaShulchan. He's just, I'm speaking on his behalf to respond to that possibility. So, says the Meirag Lion. Eger says, no, the problem is that everyone knows in Tvila you're supposed to stand in a normal position loosely. Maybe we've once been in the situation where you're holding it in is the opposite of standing loosely and comfortably. When you're holding it in, you stand very tightly. And when you're holding it in, you clench your whole body together. And that's the problem. It's not that that's so on the Meirag Lion is a chatzitza, but it's that when someone has to hold it in, they stand funny and they clench their body in order to hold it in. And then they block all their body, even the gully parts of their body, which I admit is not Meduyik Yosef. Anyway, Pashtus is, we hold like Rabbi Kivi Eger, not like the Ruch HaShulchan. Pashtus, the Chashash is not for the Pashtus, the Chashash is not that the Tzon Meirag Lion is Chotzeitz. It's just that if you're holding it in, you'll clench your body. And we know you're not allowed to clench your body. Lemaisa, we assume that this is only L'chachila. In any case, that, I mean, what if you did clench your body terribly? Then it would be a problem. But Lemaisa, we assume this is L'chachila. But in any case, it's common sense, like, most women, like, they're getting so clean for the mikvah. They're at least trying to go to the bathroom. So it's not such a... It's not really such a lemaisa chiddush. Most people would do this anyway.
But it could be that, like, you're clenching the pesach. I was describing... Or that could also happen naturally without us knowing when you need to go to the bathroom. The same way, like, you like pursing your lips.
Correct. But then that gets tricky. Because if... Well, okay, you're saying you could be. You're clenching the pesach. We don't notice. Then the question, what part of your pesach? If you're clenching the... Beis Astarim part, then we really passing against that Gili Marsha. That's not.
Isn't that what the Rabbi Kivi Eger meant?
No, he said before you clench the gully parts of your body. I mean, you I don't know. It's hard for me to put myself in the mind step.
Some of the lips are like half Beis Astarim.
Yeah.
Where those lines blur, and then the problem is you're going to start blurring those lines, and you're going to start thinking.
That's what Rabbi Kivi Eger says. Yeah. So you say you might do that even without noticing. Could be. Rabbi Kivi Eger's point is like the lips. Like when you clench, you'll even clench the visible parts of your body, and then that'll be a problem. That's what he says.
This doesn't work in the Aramah, like according to the original sources, but you say that part of the concern was that like you might rush it. That, like, meaning as much as during the day or the night, like you worry about rushing it. So he has to go to the bathroom, just like going in and going out.
It's possible. It's possible. It's definitely possible. Okay, so lemaisa, we say that l'chachila. Notice also here something else I have to point out. You have to clean out your nose. When you go to the mikvah, you have to clean all your orifices. You have to clean your eyes. You saw the lifluf. You have to clean your nose. You have to clean your ears. But it's very important to know it only means in a normal fashion. Meaning, you don't have to dig deep in your nose and deep in your ears and take out all the things that are supposed to be, you know, there's supposed to be a certain amount. Doctor, is it true there's supposed to be a certain amount of wax in your ears? Right? Not like that you can see it. But, you know, you don't, so, because A, the stuff deep in your nose and ears, first of all, is balua, all the way in. And second of all, that's a lakbid, that's normal. Just means, you know, you should clean your nose, like, normally. And so what do women do? They take a Q-tip and just make sure it's a little clean, but not that to, like, dig in for buried treasure. Just in the outside part of your nose, especially the visible part of your nose might be, might not, is not balua. and just in the outside part of your ears. And so it means it's very important. Like, first of all, it's probably not healthy and you could get a pencil or something, right? It doesn't mean you should dig all the way inside orifices where you're not supposed to dig. It just means in the outer visible parts, which are normally supposed to be clean, then you should clean them as best as you can. What if you, then you should clean it as best as you can, and we'll get to it. That will be similar to Sif Mim Zayin. Okay. What else did I want to point out here? That's it. Okay. Mem Dalid. Hai Sabah. This is a Tosefta. Okay. I admit that, you know, I wouldn't have come to these conclusions on my own, but it's a Tosefta. So, that's easy. You have a hair or two, or more, obviously. This can happen. You ever have, like, a maka, and you have, like, on your arm and some of your arm here, like, not where it's grown from. The tip, the top of that hair, gets stuck in the scab and gets, like, included in it. It's really annoying. So if you have that, you have a maka, like, dried up scab, and or it heals, and, like, some other hairs got stuck in it. So that is considered a chatzitza. That's something people normally don't want. That's annoying to people. That's a miru makbid. Or two hairs on your head are stuck in mud or with soba or in dirt. I don't think this happens so much nowadays. Two of your lower, do you have lower and upper eyelashes? Let me see your face. Two of your lower eyelashes make a hole and come out the other side from your upper eyelid. Or two of your lower eyelashes are stuck to two of your upper eyelashes. This is all chatzitza. Okay, the Achron struggled to figure out why two. I mean, these all seem like a chatzitza. Why two? It must be that at least in the time of Tosefta, women weren't makbid on one, but they were makbid on two, which I admit is a little arbitrary. But that's the best explanation. I would have said even one. But that's the best explanation that I have. Memhe, lo titbol be'avak shavagleho. You shouldn't, if you have dirt on dust on your feet, not talking about mud. Mud, we already said, is a big problem. Here it just means dust on your feet. You shouldn't tovel with dust on your feet. Now here, this is a Tosefta. There's two girsas in the Tosefta. The girsa, the Rambam, is that l'chachil, you shouldn't tovel with dust on your feet, but the d'yevet, it's okay. Why would you think the d'yevet, it's okay? Because the water washes it off. The Rashi Shans, however, is a Gerson Tosefta, right? Why the has a Gerson Tosefta, right? The Rashi Shans has a Perish on Mishnayis Taros, and in his Perish Mishnayis Taros, he also quotes important Toseftas. His Gerson Tosefta, even B'dievin, it's Ma'akev, unless you had one of two things that helps it come off. What are the two things? You rubbed it, or it was hot water, because hot water cleans more. So, how do we paskin? Let's see. Mem hei, lo titbol ba'avik shalor b'lehov, yim tavla, yesh misha omer she'enu chotzeitz. Some say b'dievet not a chatzitza, Rambam. V'yeish v'shomer shachot says elam kein shifshuol shetov l'ucham. And some, the Rashi Shans, this is not their svara. This is just each of their girs and Tosefta. That's what it says in Gergola also. Unless she rubbed her feet to get it off, or it was hot water, because hot water cleans you better than cold water. Okay, so it's two deos. So l'chora, their yeish omer l'chora, we'd be machmer on this. But it's not such a common thing anyway, because women usually don't go with dirty feet nowadays. Agav, I'll just point out the Pesukei Tshuva here has a shayla v'hilchos tefillin. A fasting shayla v'hilchos tefillin. People put some sort of like mousse in their hair or something. So is that a chatzitza for tefillin? He says, no, it's lenoi, it's not chotzeitz. Okay, you can have another question of like what Ben Torah's noi should be, but that's not his issue here. Says, but for tvila it is chotzeitz. Why? Because it's not noy, it's get ruined by the water. I mentioned this earlier. Makeup, even though it's noy, is a problem in tvila because it gets ruined by the water. So if you want a mucker for that, I said it earlier about makeup. You want a mucker it, pisle chubachav yemel, about this kind of, some kind of mousse that says, whatever is pretty, is but it gets ruined by the water, is not pretty anymore and is chotzeitz.
What about hair, a conditioner, which like needs a little bit of a film on.
I saw in Rabbi Forrest, he says, that like regular conditioner leaves some sort of film on your hair. He said the kind of film left on your hair by regular conditioner is not a problem because that is, it's ain't bo mamish and it makes your hair look nice and we assume that that is okay. You know, at least normal things.
I think Rosenberg teaches that women should not use conditioner unless they have hair such that they can't get a comb through it otherwise.
Right, it is interesting. I also thought she teaches that, and then I saw that Rabbi Force taught differently. So now this creates a big philosophical problem. Perhaps I'd even go so far as to say a practical problem. Rabbi Forst is a bigger Talmud Chacham than my wife, but it's more important to me my wife's good graces. Anyway.
Of course, it's going based on repentance
side. Pashtus. Pashtus, I wonder if he says anything. You know how to say conditioner in Hebrew?
No.
I do, Merakechseya.
Like a book check. I have the bottle in my apartment.
215. What does it say here? Motel Ishul Ishtamish Merakech Seyar Lefneath Fila from the Sefer Pua. And he says, even though you could make a question, Lamaisha for many women helps you comb your hair neatly, and really it's not a problem because it's not Machbid and it's Ain Bo Mamish and etc. And he quotes from, he quotes just two Maimonides Svarim. Anyway, the Maisa, what?
Did that say for usually in the Shirin?
No.
Was that just because you knew the conversation was going to happen?
No, it's because I knew I wanted to talk about something else.
Okay.
So I have to, I have to work this out with my wife, apparently. Let's just see.
So you say there's no such course to not use conditioner, that's what we're saying.
No, not at all the notion. Even the footnote Sefer Pua quotes, there's some who say that maybe it's better not to. I'm not saying the chas or something, there's no such chumra. The question is just, what is the bottom line in terms of conditioner?
And what should we recommend to people who have the license?
Right. So let me just see if I remember correctly what Rav Force says. Where would this be? The chafifa, how? It would probably be there. Washing here. That she may wash her hair with any shampoo or conditioner. And obviously you rinse it afterwards, but he says he knows that. He quotes the Sefer Mari Cohen, which is that it's all noy and amlobo mamish. You wash out the conditioner. It leaves a tiny something. That's probably the point of it. Anyway, he's makel on this. So there are different men hugging about conditioner. But Rabbi Forst is makel. And therefore, think you don't have to worry, but we'll have a family meeting about this. We'll try to get to the bottom of it. Where were we? Memvav. Nida shetav bivigdeha, bivigadeha, muteris le bala. Okay, this we all know. I mentioned to you this before in the Gemara, that a nida who tovels in clothing is mutter. He doesn't say she do l'chachila, right? But if she does, it's mutter because the clothing is roughly and it lets the water through. Says the shach, though, niradavka, not in all clothing. It's not exeris akasov. Only in loose clothing, not in tight clothing. Nowadays, we have different kinds of clothing. Some clothing is tight, some clothing is loose, and especially some clothing has like elastic that's very tight. And some clothing is loose. So some of them actually say that in those days, that's what he says later on, he quotes in the Ravon, that in those days the women all wore loose clothing for tznias. And again, they didn't have all of our kinds of tight underwear, etc. So lemaisa, what does this mean? If a woman tovled in tight clothing, then it's a potential problem, because that's tight. But let's say a woman needs to tovel someplace where she's afraid of being seen, whatever. Yes. And what?
The gears.
So what should she do? If she needs to tovel in clothing, b'shas avchak is like b'di'eved, she can't tovel in regular clothing as she wears every day. She has regular clothing has all kinds of tight parts. She should tovel in like a loose house dress or something, a loose dress or robe that has no elastic parts or anything like that. then that's loose clothing, and b'di'evit or b'shas achak, that's okay. Some more so, and some less so. Depends what the clothing's made of, how permeable it is. You know, I don't know if every elastic is water permeable. I mean, I guess, you know, it depends how long it soaks in the water, but we assume that just because something's theoretically permeable doesn't help if it has to soak a long time to be permeable. So it depends what kind of clothing. You're right. If you had, like, a very loose cotton, you know, loose cotton weave, even if it was tight on my skin, the water would get through it chick-chock. But, you know, that's not necessarily true of everything. So Lamai said we only apply this kula with someone needs to go in a lake and whatever, it's like they really can't go naked. Then they could go in a loose dress, but not in regular Western clothing. Okay, Mem Zayin, very, very important. Men keep him shedvukim bebasar. Okay, lo aleinu. If she has lice on her skin, v'noshtim or makom sear, and they bite into her skin in the parts where there's hair, v'nebukim b'chuz bebasar, they're tightly attached to the skin. Sorek lasiyun al yichamin, she used to use hot water to try to remove them, gorum b'tzvorim, and scratch them off with her fingernail. Okay, meaning you have to make an effort. Einu yochel lasiyun. What if she can't get off the lice? Eino chotzeit, it's not a chatzitza. This is a very, very, very important sif. If you can't get rid of something, meaning you actually can't, not like you don't want to face the consequences, that we'll get to. But you mamish, no matter how hard you try, you can't get rid of something. Then it is not a chatzitza. Why? So the Gra mentions two svaras here, and Sivkat and Nun Gimel, very pithy Gra. He says, came into Revise, who first of all he says Revise, not Revise like you'll die, but Revise meaning normal life. That's normal life. Normal life is not a chatzitza. And he adds, and this is most achronim say like the second part of the Gra, the Eino Makpedes, that's called Eino Makped. What's the important chiddush here? What do you mean Eino Makped? Would she rather not have lice? She'd rather not have lice. She's not happy to have lice. She would easily pay you $20 to get rid of her lice. But since she can't get rid of all of them, that's called Eino Makpid. The Chiddush here is, keep in mind the central Chiddush, if I don't want something, but I can't get rid of it, that's called Eino Makpid. Because Makpid is not whether I'm philosophically happy or sad. Makpid is whether I have plans to remove it. You can't get rid of all the lice. If whatever you can't get rid of is called Eino Makpid, and maybe even a different kind of Revise, and therefore it's not Chotzeit. Why is that so important? First of all, sometimes people have lice. What do you do if you have lice? You try the best you can to get rid of all the lice and nits, etc. But even after the best you can, it's not perfect. And you'd rather it wasn't there. No problem. That is still okay. And this comes up with many other things also, like, for example, dandruff. Some people have a problem with dandruff. So if you have the size of a cornflake, like in your hair, so you take that out, etc. But you know what? If you ever had someone with a dandruff problem, you could comb and comb and comb all day long. It's just like, you know, like you dig in the dirt, and there's more dirt, and more dirt, and more dirt. Eventually, you'll hit China. But it never ends, right? So there are some things which you just can't get rid of. Sometimes people have dandruff they can't get rid of. Sometimes they have peeling skin they can't get rid of. Sometimes they have, like, some kind of sunburn and peeled skin. You can take it off, and the next skin will peel. Yeah, you can keep going until you peel off all your skin, but it's never going to end. So what if you have these situations, and you'd rather not have these things, but what if you have something that you can't get rid of? Says the Mechaber, you try the best you can normally. I think if you have peeling skin, they say. I don't know, there's different kinds of peeling skin. Like, there's no point taking it off, because whatever you take off, the next one comes. You just trim it nicely and leave it as it is. What if you have dandruff? You comb out the dandruff as much as you can normally, and you leave the rest in. What if you have lice? You comb the best you can, and if some nits there, then that's part of life. And that's a big yesod that if you can't get rid of something, then it is not ma'akev. Again, for two reasons. Most achronim say because it's called eino makpid. And the Gra adds, even though most achronim don't add this, that it's a kind of revise. Give me half a second. Sorry. The Pitzchei Tshuva quotes the Chabudi Daniel. There's a different kind of lice that you can get rid of easily. The dead lice, apparently those you can get rid of more easily. So whatever you can get rid of easily is a problem. But whatever you can't get rid of is not a problem.
to differentiate whether or not she could get rid of it herself, or whether she would need a friend to get rid of it, in extending this question to Brazen.
Braces?
Yeah, meaning she
can't. No. This has nothing to do with braces. Sorry, I tried to be clear. Now I'm talking about things that you can't get rid of. I am not yet talking about things which you... Okay, I'm not talking... That's a question where, like, someone could get rid of it, but you don't want to.
Right.
Okay. I'm not talking about that yet.
Maybe even if she wanted to, she could have figured it out herself.
Okay, so there is a svara like that, but if you'll allow me, I'll mention that later. That's the svara called... It's not just someone else, but there's actually a svara in the... It's actually a very important svara. The lechem v'simla doesn't rely on this alone, but says that tzad l'hakel is anything that you need an uman to remove might not be called a chatzitza. Because whatever you need uman to remove is considered part of your body. Okay, but let's come back to that. Now, here I want everyone, can I bother everyone to turn to the back? Okay, I apologize to you. I'm going, yes? That's basically what the Gra means by Ravise. What does he mean by Ravise? I think that's what he means by Ravise, or at least Bechlal. So you're right, that's... why do people go with this way? I think the difference is because, like, here, like, each louse maybe you could remove. You just can't actually, like, get rid of all the lice, you know, it's... So, like, you know, if one louse, maybe you could remove if you worked on that all day. So, okay, maybe it's... But you're right, but if not, I'll say it's part of the Gra. I'd like everyone to turn for a second. You turn if you want, if not, just listen hard, to the Shiurei Tara. This is an important marker. If you'll forgive me, I'm going to end this simen three times. First, I'm going to end the Chatzitza parts of the simen with this Shiurei Tara. Then I'm going to relearn the last sif, which has nothing to do with Chatzitza. And then I'm going to go back and make Hashlomos. So if you look in the Sidrei Tara here, which again may be called Shiurei Tara in yours, Simen Kof Tzadi Ches, Sifkat Nun Hei. He quotes a crucial Ramban. This Ramban is not relevant to braces and stitches and things like that. He's not talking about shilas that something comes up. There are two kinds of shilas in Chatzitza. One is a weird situation came up. I have a cast, I have stitches, I have braces, I found a piece of glue, I found a piece of paint, you know. I forgot to cut my fingernails. That's a weird situation. Then there's normal situations, right? Here's always the problem. Where do you draw the line between your Shemayim and OCD? And even where do you draw the line if someone's not OCD between proper your Shemayim and exaggerated your Shemayim? Right? So in some cases, maybe it's good to exaggerate your Shemayim. But in some areas of halacha, it's unhealthy to exaggerate your Shemayim. What about, now again, let me be very clear. I'm not talking about weird one-time situations. That's a regular halachic shiloh, your machmir, your mekel. I'm talking about things that there's no way to ever draw the line. Like, for example, did I stand comfortably normally, or did I stand clenched a little? Go figure out how to draw the line. Did I comb the dandruff out of my hair properly, or maybe I didn't comb it out normally? Did I clean my nose normally, or maybe I didn't clean my nose enough? Meaning any woman who goes to the mikvah can have, just in the regular routine issues of standing and cleaning, can have spekos, an infinite number of spekos. What do you do about the fact there's an infinite number of spekos you can have, and you can never be sure you tobled properly? Says the Ramban in the Sidrei Taras of Kutin Nun, Hey, Kasa Ramban besofel chosa. This is how the Ramban ended Hilchas Nida. Now, again, he's not talking about Chumran Kula on one-time Shailos. It's improper for a person to be too machmer and look for Sveikos, the Pasel, Tfilos, and all these light things. Why? He says, Ein L'Dover Sof. If you're going to start questioning, Ein L'Dover Sof. You'll never finish questioning. You'll never know if you cleaned your nose, and if you cleaned your eyes, and if you cleaned your teeth, and if you cleaned your, and if you cleaned your ears, and if you stood properly, and if you etc. etc. Ella, rather, after she chafer rosh v'sarkel masri, she washed her hair and combed it with a comb. The chafer rafsel gufo, and she washed and scrubbed her body. Then his hair slitetig up sum to her choshes, and afterwards she was careful not to touch sticky things that are choshes. The tasa tefilas of pshita sevrev chol gufa, and she tries to straighten out her body in a normal way for tefila. Lo yachlis adam rosh v'sekos achamuros. Don't get your head into these chomer sfekos. Your ein la kates which have a soap which will never end. Don't otzmei neva yoser. Ah, she closed her eyes. Maybe she closed her eyes too much. Or Kartzis of Zibi Yosser. She closed her mouth. Maybe she closed her mouth too tight. Umishara Spekos and all the other Spekos. Says the Ramban, very, very important Yosod in Halacha Lamaisa. When it comes to the questions that come up every time a woman goes to mikvah, that you never know where to draw the line. What's too much? What's a little? What's normal? What's less than normal? What's more than normal? What's properly clean? What's maybe not properly clean? You can't ask these questions. If a woman has these questions, if she says, I have a very specific question, I came out of the mikvah, and I found a little sticky piece from a band-aid on my arm. Okay, that's a shayla. You have to pask in the shayla. You have to get into all the lungas. I forgot my contact lenses. That's a shayla. You know, I don't know what to do. Can I tovel with a cast? That's a shayla. But if a woman comes out of the mikvah and says, I'm not sure if I closed my eyes properly or too much. I'm not sure if I stood properly or too much. Says, did you learn in Kala class? I said, yeah, but how am I sure that I didn't close my eyes too hard? How am I sure that I cleaned my teeth and my nose and everything enough? So the answer is, if you did a normal thing,
it's hard to say, so maybe I didn't do it normally.
No, if you tried to do Chafifa and Tefillah, if you took a Kala class and you tried to do what they told you, did you try to do what they told you? Yeah, I tried to. I'm just not sure if I really did it right. And the Ramban says you're not allowed to ask such questions, telling no, those questions are not halakhically. There's a foolish Ramban who says it's mutter. That's what women need to hear sometimes. Depends. If the woman is a very learned woman, then she'll listen to a course. Most women, they just want to hear their big rabbi from a long time ago said it was okay. And then they'll feel better. A big dead rabbi said it was okay, and then they will feel better. Okay? The Ramban is about as big as they come. And even though Tzadikim Ach Misasim Kurim Chayim, but nonetheless, he's well past his name of Esrim. So just the foolish Ramban that it's okay, but that's a very important yesod, because otherwise women can drive themselves crazy. Not with real shaylas of things that come up, but with shaylas, you never know if it was, any time the shayla is, was X, Y enough? Then the answer is, if you took a Kala class and tried to do the right thing, then yes, it was blank enough. That's the Ramban. Okay, very important. So now, before we come back to Hashlamos, let's look at Sif Mem Ches. Here we have a fundamental machlokas amoraim between Rav and Rav Yochanan. What's the machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan? Everyone agrees for Truman Kachim. What do you need when you tovel for Truman Kachim? Kavana. For Truman Kachim, you need Kavana. Matter of fact, you even need specific Kavana. If you have Kavana to tovel to eat Truman, you can't eat Kachim. Right? You need Kavana for Truman Kachim. What about for Chulin? Chulin being Ochli Chulin Vatara in the old days, or nowadays, sleeping with your husband. Sleeping with your husband is Chulin. Okay. We all, not to take away from the tremendous Kedusha and the Yehudim created by a proper Zivug being husband and wife, but halachically, it's in the realm of Chulin, not in the realm of Kachin. So do you need Kavana for Chulin? Okay, so that's a machlokas amoraim. We can say whatever smart as we want, but it's a machlokas amoraim. Rav says you don't need Kavana, and Rabbi Yochanan says you do need Kavana. Okay, so now you bring Diyukim and Raya's. How do we paskin? We'll skip the Diyukim and Raya's. How do we paskin? Says Rav. Do you need Kavana for Chulin? Says Rav. No. Says Rabbi Yochanan, yes. How do we paskin? This is a machlokas Rishonim. Says the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rambam, the Smag, I think are the ones quoted in Beis Yosef. They say, no, you don't need like Rav. However, not everyone agrees. The Rashba, who's pretty serious, as well as everyone else in this list, and the Hagos HaShivi, and the Rabbeinu Yerucham, and the Rokeach, say, yes, you need Kavanah like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so how do we paskin? It's a real machlokas Rishonim. Says the Mechaber, Nidah Shtavu Lo Kavanah, Kosh Nafu Lo Chamayah, and Nidah Tov Without Kavanah. And again, without Kavanah, like she fell in the water. Oh, she yarded the hucker. She went just to cool off. Now, keep in mind here, Kavanah doesn't mean like, you know, like Kabbalistic Kavanahs, etc. It just meant she intended to become Tahora. Right? As a matter of fact, it says in the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkatan, Chavav, she doesn't have to have specific kavana for Tashmish. Let's say she just wanted to be Tahora
to touch her husband, but not for Tashmish, because she thought there was a big disease they couldn't do Tashmish, and then turned out they can. She only intended to touch him, not through Tashmish. That's fine. She doesn't specifically come out of her Tashmish. I would go further. Not that he would disagree, just further in the case. Let's say she told him to be Tahora to go up to Harabais. Doesn't matter. As long as she Kavana to be Tahora, that's good enough. She doesn't have to have specific Kavana for her Tashmish. But she has to have Kavana, L'chachila, to be Tahora. What if it was without Kavana? Like she fell or she went to take a bath. Muteris Labali, passing like the Rambam, says the Mechaber, no problem. We pass like the Rambam, Kavana is not Ma'akev. Says the Ramadha, V'yesh Machmir, Matzrich Nosa Tfila Cheres. V'yesh Machmir, L'chachila, says the Ramadha. L'chachila, V'yar Machmir. Now this is a funny thing. What does he mean, Yesh Lachmir? Lechatchila. What does it mean, lechatchila? Obviously, lechatchila, she should have kavana. The whole question is b'dieved, so explains the shach that no, lechatchila shetitbol shenis im efshar. That's it. It doesn't mean lechatchila, she should have kavana, but without it, it's okay. Even the mechaber admitted lechatchila, she should have kavana, just without it, it's okay. He means lechatchila tovel again. It's a different use of lechatchila than we're used to. It means if she can't travel again, she got on a plane and she's on her way to an island in Hawaii without a mikvah, okay, then what could she do? But if she can go back to the mikvah, then she should go back to the mikvah. And the shach says she shouldn't make another bracha because really, ikra didn't we hold like the Rambam. This is just a chumrah. Lechat. This is just a chumrah. Lechat chila. The one important point, which is in the Shach and the Taz, is that, so in the old days, how did babies tovel? Right? How does a Shota tovel? So the answer is easy. Even Rav Yochanan, who requires Kavana, doesn't have to be your Kavana. After all, how does my silverware tovel? The answer is, I tovel and I have Kavana. Likewise, it's okay if someone else has Kavana. That's why the Machaber says, what's the Machaber Rav Yochanan if she fell in? Or if she just went to cool off? But if her friend pushed her in the river with Kavana, then that is good enough. Not that you should push someone in the river. But I'm saying, let's say you have a weird case. I mean, it's not so common nowadays. But in the old days, the Tome of Atara, of someone who's with Kana, a Shota, etc., and had no Kavana, it's fine. As long as someone else puts her in with Kavana, or him in with Kavana in the old days, right, that is good enough. Okay, nowadays, it's not so common. But if you would have a very rare case of a woman who, for whatever reason, couldn't have Kavana, but someone else put her in the river with Kavana, that would be Yotze Lekuli Alma. Okay, last halacha, yesh kasvu. Last two halachas, yesh kasvu. She yesh leisha the osnua b'leil tefilasa v'chein nagu anoshim lehaskel leil tefilasa. I don't know why it's a yesh kasvu. It's as the Gross says, yesh kasvu, like it says in the Gemara. Okay, I'm not sure why he writes as a yesh kasvu if it's a Gemara that she should be tsnua about when she tovels. That's the meaning. They hide their tefillos. So they have mehuma, not to go with noise, over if they are brios, or to go in front of people. So they but in the adam that people shouldn't notice. This is very harsh. This is not politically correct. Don't put it on the tape and while you Torah that we talk this way. But what does the Gemara say about a woman who I've heard this happen in certain circles? I have relatives in certain circles who tell me that they're surprised to see other people. They mamish, like, put on Facebook or whatever, that if they're going to mikvah tonight or something like that. You know what it says about those kind of people? It says about her husband is violating or shochim in kol behema. That you're a behema, if you're a mefarshim, you're tefila to other people. Why? Not because the tefila is such a big deal. No, it's wonderful. What do you mean? I know a lot of nice brezlers who are mefarshim, men who mefarshim go to mikvah every 3 minutes. But no, it's obviously because if she goes to the tefillah, that means that it's a leil ona, that she's sleeping with her husband that night. Otherwise, we have rules of ona. But nobody knows when the husband and wife are engaging in intercourse. That's their own business. They have their own kishponos. Who knows? But on mikvah night, everyone knows they're engaging in intercourse. It's an important mitzvah that specifically that night. And therefore, the problem with mefarshim your tefillah is that it's mefarshim your engaging in intercourse with your husband, which we see from here, is also arushokhe in kol behema. Although, probably people, even nowadays, don't do that on their Facebook status. But, anyway, so therefore you have to be very tznius about your mikvah night, not to do it in a public way. However, I'll point out, this doesn't mean, look what he says, b'mahumah, lo yigishu b'nei adam. It doesn't mean that it's like
Mossad top secret that no one in the whole world can know. It means that if one person needs to know, let's say she needs to tell someone to babysit her kids, and she's not so clever she can make up all kinds of stories. Or she needs to tell her mother or her sister to make a plan of to explain why she's missing so that everyone else won't notice. If you have to tell one, or she needs someone to drive her, right? If you have to tell, or the mikvah lady knows, right? You have to tell one person you're going to mikvah, that's okay in its sneeze way. It just means it shouldn't be publicized to the public. No, but it doesn't matter. Once you go to the mikvah, you have to be with your husband. It's a mitzvah's onah. Now, again, what does have to? No one's holding a gun to your head and saying the husband and wife both have very, very good reasons they don't want to engage in tashmish that night, that they like have to hold their nose and do it against their will. But given that it's a very important part of mitzvah's onah, tefillah night is considered an ikar mitzvah's onah, and that it's natural for husband and wife to want to be together after a long time being apart. So it's like 99.9%. That they're going to sleep together on mikveh night. The chicken egg the other way. And therefore, that is a big avera. Okay. V'yesh l'nashim. Here is something a little more metaphysical. L'zark shiyotzes min atvilo shiyifko b'chaverta. A woman has to be careful when she finishes toveling that she meet her friend. It doesn't mean her friend, but that she meet a normal woman like her. So yifko t'chil dover tummy. She shouldn't first meet an unclean animal. A goy or a goy. And not only that, some of them add an a metzora, not so common nowadays, or an am haaretz. Even though they say it only means a gar am haaretz, like an am haaretz in Lamech doesn't know kriyashma. It doesn't just mean a guy who doesn't know ketos. It doesn't even mean a guy who doesn't know gemaras. It means a guy who mamish has no shaychus to Torah Judaism. So why? Because all those things will have a bad metaphysical effect on her. If pugva dvarim elu emi yerushamayim tasev tifel, and she's yerushamayim, and out of the mikvah she meets one of these, either Dover Tome or a person who has a certain Tome about them, then she should go Tovel again. We will get to some of these things as best as we can. However, the modern day poskim say that nowadays you could be Yotze, this Ramah, with the mikvah lady. Because when you come out of the mikvah, you usually meet the mikvah lady first. That might not be, if a weird kid, it should be, like, the mikvah lady has to watch you tovel. So when you come out of the mikvah, you see the mikvah lady. So if you come out of the mikvah and see the mikvah lady, then it's okay if when you leave the building, you see a goy or one of these other things, and therefore we're not so makbid on this nowadays.
Wasn't there also just saying another other person also?
Hmm?
Isn't also just saying another person, because then it says, like, one of them will go first to...
Okay, so there's more things here. The question is, what happens if she's a man first, right? The Ramah has no problem seeing a man if he's a kosher or a yid.
Right.
But the Shach also quotes, if she sees a man, then apparently it's not as bad as these other things, but, you know, whoever is Meshamish first from the two of them will have a Ruach Zenunis, but you can get rid of that without toveling again, especially the man, you know. You just have to say the Pasuk, Shofi Bozal Medivim, or some people say... a different shofet was on the divan. There are two different psukim of that. Okay, so that you can get rid of easier by saying shofet was on the divan. But that's also okay nowadays because she always sees the mikvah lady coming out of the mikvah. The mikvah lady is a lady, and then she is okay. So that's why nowadays we're not mocked about these things. I never heard in that mamish like someone comes out of the mikvah and sees a guy and she goes back to the mikvah because we have a mikvah lady.
But that's all only if she didn't get her encounter with the mikvah lady. That's not if she stops. Like,
isn't
the whole question
about
Rabbi Yochanan, like, the whole basis is assuming that, like,
she... Ah, Haiman, the pug of itzav idnas, what's
solka right? Mitzvah. Right,
mitzvah. What's solka mitzvah's litza? How far out is solka mitzvah's mitzvah for this man to bump into her? Okay, the answer is, it's a good question.
Like, some of those answers might be applied one way, some might be applied.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. Well, Lamaisa, we're not so makbid on nowadays. Okay, now, if you'll excuse me, I want to take a little excursus and do some hashlamos. Why do I want to do hashlamos? Because there's, first of all, let me just point out, when it comes to chatzitza shaylas, there's an infinite number of chatzitza shaylas. You know, if you're a rabbi, you'll always have new chatzitza shaylas, and you'll have to be prepared to look them up. Because there's just, like, you know, so many different cases of chatzitzas. But what are the shaylas? We've already discussed chatzitza shaylas, I hope, adequately, of ones that are like a natural part of your body, each part in its own proper
Proper sif.
Yes, when did we mention hair that normally is cut off, but the other she didn't cut it off? Is that a problem with you?
So I think we discussed briefly, we mentioned the Chassam Sofer. What about hair that she normally cuts off? So we said that, I'll repeat what we said, lechatchila, it's good that we're not machmir like fingernails. Why? Most posts say we're more machmir by fingernails because it's a halacha to cut them off. Meaning when something's a halacha to cut it off, or like the Chassam Sofer is here, then that's more of a shaitla. It's a minute to cut it. If it's a minute to cut it off, it's a shaitla. It's like if it's a Jewish halachic minute to cut it off, and that creates more of a problem of only litzos can cut some zami. But let's say it's a fashion need to cut off your hair. That's considered lower when we wear our halachic glasses and our proper hashkafa. That's considered a lower need than minhag Yisrael. And therefore, if something just has to be cut off for fashion reasons, then lechachila, we try to say, whatever has to be cut off for fashion reasons, you should cut off before you tovel. So for example, women shave their legs for just to look nice. So if she needs to shave her legs, she should shave her legs before she goes to the mikvah. Most people say that the kalachim say shave your legs the day before mikvah is even better. That way, if there's any loose things that are left, they'll come off in the day. But that's only on the level of lechachila. Really, b'di'eved, we're only worried about fingernails, because fingernails are omeid lakots al pi minhag Yisrael. Something's only omeid ligzos al pi fashion, al pi looking nice, then ikra din, we don't worry about that. So if a woman forgot to shave her legs, then it is okay. We say it's part of her body, and even though it's might not be so fashionable, that's, since it's no halacha telling her to shave, just fashion, then ikra din, that's not a problem. And certainly in cases where even I'll be fashion, she needs a haircut. What do you mean needs a haircut? You know, even I'll be fashion, that's never clear when you need a haircut, when you don't. So we would not worry about that. We would not worry about that at all. Okay. Now, I just want to point out, what are a lot of shilas that do come up is medical shilas. What if you have certain things on your body that you need, and I can't go through all of them, I'll just represent a few. There are certain things in your body that you need for medical reasons, and you can't remove, then what do you do for toveling? Right? That is a big shaila. That is a big shaila. And you can't say whatever's medically necessary is revise, or is anal makbid, or is okay, because we know the retia is chotzeitz, and the eged is chotzeitz, and the kaskasim are chotzeitz. So all the precedents from Masechet Mikvaos are that medically necessary things on your body are chotzeitz. So what do we do nowadays? That's the question. So here I'm going to summarize Rabbi Forst here. Okay, have I praised Rabbi Forst book before?
No.
Okay, so I'm not really even a bar hachi to praise Rabbi Forst book because he is a talmud chacham atzum, and you know I'm not really to write a book review on him, but nonetheless, I think I just want everyone to not have the wrong impression. You could think that it's an English, it's like an English halacha book. But no, it's Be'etzem, a Hebrew sefer that happens to be written in English. Meaning this is, you could just tell from reading any 10 pages of the book, that not only does he have Bekias and all the achronim, but he's like a Lamdan Utsum, that everything he writes here is organized conceptually and thought out clearly. And you know what? Someone can write a book and we're lacking a lot of achronim, but it's like a little over the place. Someone can write a book and lacking achronim, like everything is in its place. Like everything is what the concept it belongs with in the logical order that it belongs, next to what it belongs next to, LP, the lumdus behind it, and takes it down to practical. So I say he's really an amazing safer. I think specifically his Nida book is even more useful to me and or more impressive to me than his other Svarim. And he it's a tremendous book. It's very, very impressive. Now here I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to sort of say over what some of the way he presents it as to he presents it, he very masudr. He gives you two lists. First, what are the svaras to be makel on various things that are medically necessary? If Eged and Kaskasim and Ritiya and Ispilanis, right, were a chotzeitz, right? So you can't just say, stam, it's okay, right? Whatever, there's some shifts to say, well, really, anything you want on your body is okay because you really want it.
Oh, but that's not true, because the egg didn't cost costume, so we have to make new svaras. Okay, so let's skip to the new svaras. So he has a bunch of different svaras. One svara is... the problem is all of these svaras are controversial, right? None of these svaras are blocked. So these are all controversial svaras, by which I mean they are tzdadin lahakel. It's not like each of these svaras is true. Each of these svaras is controversial. Because we don't have time, I'm not going to write all the controversies. One svara is that maybe something you can't, I don't mean can't like the dandruff. You physically can't. Something you can't remove, meaning it would damage your health to remove, is revise. Maybe you could rely on revise. Meaning the egg and the kaskasim and the retia and the espalanes, you could remove in tovel. Obviously, those things you could remove. You remove the retia, you totally put on the retia, big deal. But there are some things which, if you remove them, then it will damage you. If you remove stitches, then it will damage your wound. If you remove a cast, it will damage your bone. So maybe anything, all the cases of Shulchan Aruch are things which are medically necessary, but you can take them off and nothing bad will happen. If something bad would happen if you took them off, for sure, sakana, or even choli, then maybe that's called revise, and that's different than the cases in the Shulchan Aruch. However, we already saw in the Pesachei Tshuva revise, there are some questions about it, right? The sfeikos are, number one, is it only sakana or choli, right? Maybe revise is only if you'll die. You won't die, some things, but most things you won't die, you'll just be injured. And vadai and safek, remember we saw, maybe it's only if it's vadai that it'll help. Some things, maybe it's only safek if it'll help, depending on the case. And the most important one is, how about chelek migufa versus davar michutz legufa? Right, remember that there were some who said that the revise only works for something that's part of your body, like the dreadlocks of the demons. But medical devices outside your body, maybe there's no revise. So therefore, revise is a good svara, but it's not mukhrach. Another case is maybe put this similar to, okay, you know what, I'm gonna be mekatzer a little. This is a big tzad l'hakel. This is based on a whole din of achronim rishonim based on a Rashi, but if you want, you could look up the Rashi, or you could look at Rabbi Forrest's book. This is all based on Rashi in Tesvavo and Beis, but some people say that l'fi harbe rishonim davar sheyipol me'atzmo velo yisirenu nikra eino makpid. This is useful in some cases. Let's say, Yosef, they use self-dissolving stitches sometimes. Say they use dissolving stitches. You don't want them there forever, but you're never going to remove them. Why aren't you going to remove them? They'll dissolve. There are some things which, and this is why some people say maybe the scabs are okay, maybe Cardini said scabs are okay, because you never have to remove them. You're really supposed to wait till they fall off on their own. So maybe, even if you don't want them there, but if you're never going to remove them, that's not called makbid. Makbid is only if you'll remove them. If you'll wait till they fall off naturally or disappear, maybe that's not called makbid. So that's a big tzad l'hakel for shayach to, okay, this is not all Rishonim agree. Sfeikos are not all Rishonim agree, but it's a big tzad l'hakel, and this is relevant to dissolving stitches. I can't think of anything else that's relevant to, can you?
What about the, when they use surgical glue to close the wound?
Or surgical glue, good. Or surgical glue, right? Which you never remove, meaning unlike if I got crazy glue in myself, an average person would remove it, right? But surgical glue, you never plan to remove. You plan to wait till it disappears. Good, so that's a tzad l'hakel for certain things.
Is that intended to remove or will fall off by itself?
What? that something which you and everyone intends to let fall off by itself and not remove.
Everyone or you?
You and most people. You and most people would not remove dissolving stitches. You and most people would not remove surgical glue.
Like nail polish could be on the glue there.
No, everyone removes nail polish. No, it gets chipped. You remove it. No, most people don't. No, that's only people who are very, very holy and are not so minded on how fancy they are. But most people, when it gets chipped, they remove it. Okay, another being is the Lechem Asimla. Says the Lechem Asimla. Says, Davar Hatzarich Uman Lehasiro Eino Chotzitz. Anything which you need a professional to remove is considered part of your body, because if you need a professional to remove it, then it's part of your body. The egg and the kaskasim you don't need a professional to remove. A balabas can remove. But if you need a professional to remove it, then, and I don't think it means like you need a professional to remove it to like check that it's okay, etc. Like, I don't think stitches need a professional to remove. You go to a nurse to remove stitches. But you don't really need, you need to for like very safety, but you could easily remove them by yourself. It just is not advised. But what's a classic thing you'll see from something that only a professional can remove?
Braces.
Braces, right? You can't take off your own braces no matter how hard you try. Right? You need a professional. You need special equipment and training. And I'm sure there are other things I can't think of offhand. So, of course, the sfeikos is that not everyone says this, right? This is the Lechem Asimla chiddush, right? This is relevant to braces.
Casts.
What?
Casts.
Do you need a professional to remove a cast?
Some.
I guess so. Like, I'm not going to take my saw at home and remove a cast, right?
Unless you want another cast.
Right. That's a good point. No, again, obviously, if I was very skilled at sawing, et cetera, but then I'd be a professional, right? Yes, and if I'm an expert carpenter, I could do it, but that's a professional. Right, the braces and casts. Good. So that's also, like, a balabas can't remove a cast. And suppose the stitches. I'm pretty sure a balabas can remove stitches. You just shouldn't, because you probably need some care and checking on them. Although, I don't know, when I was a kid, my mother always removed her stitches. She said, you guys go to the emergency room so much that it's enough I've been treating myself to take you to get stitches. I'm not taking you back to remove the stitches. I watched theirs do it 30 times already, and now I'm doing it on my own. Okay, I hope she's not going to get arrested if that's okay. But we all turned out okay. Okay, yes.
Does this mean that you, specifically like an Uman, as someone described before, if you need a second person, like you can't do it yourself?
No, only an Uman. There's a din of Uman. Like, they're in all of Taros. That, like, a Cheftza is defined by what's an Uman would need to disconnect. If you just need another person, you know, if I just have, you know, a Band-Aid, like, over there where I can't reach, then that's not Uman Lassir. Has to be Mamshit Uman. We say that for many areas of Halacha, that, like, what's part of the same Cheftza, what isn't, often depends if you need an Uman to remove it or not. Okay, some of the other things he points out are some of the other svars. These are all svars of Ktsas Achronim, right? So he quotes a svar from the Sefer Pesachei Zuta. But these are all just svars of Ktsas Achronim. Maybe something you only remove to clean and replace is not called matnid, right? So maybe if there's something that you leave in forever, you just have to take it out and clean it sometimes, maybe that's not called matnid, because you're never really removing it. You're just maintaining it.
Wouldn't that be contact lenses?
No, because you have to take them out all night, no?
Yeah, but you're just doing it
to clean them. No, you don't just take them out to clean them. You take them out because you're not supposed to leave them in your eye too long, I think. Or at the very least, it's the minhag too. Meaning,
right.
Yeah. And in any case, the contact lens, but it would be a tzad l'hakel. Maybe, depending on the circumstances. I'm not an expert.
Perhaps
I never had
an example of that, although I'm not sure exactly how it would work, is people, let's say, have, let's say, a hole in their trachea, let's say, for like, whatever reasons, and they have basically a hole, but there's like a plastic tube that they would put in so that way they could breathe. And I guess if they were going underwater, they'd have to put in a little plug into that. But that would be something that they only remove to clean the space when they put it back in.
Okay. Good. Another example, this from the Marsham, the Har Tzvi, is lo aleinu, it's part of life, is something you only remove in order to replace with a similar item. Basically, all of these are ways of saying there are some things that will make on the egg of the gaskasin. So this is relevant, of course, to temporary fillings. Right? Sometimes you go to the dentist, but it's a temporary filling, then you have to come back, they'll switch it for a permanent filling. Okay, that temporary filling, you would say, is machbid. What do you mean? It can't. It's only temporary. I have to take it out. It's not allowed to stay too long. But only taking it out to replace it with something similar, so maybe that's not called machbid. Okay, that's a svara. Again, none of these paskin, these bechlink. These are just all studded mahakil to show you how complicated it is. Another example is, and here I am, I'm going to go a little out of his order, is six. Is, this is a shut semach tzedek, hakadmon, the semach tzedek says that something you remove only after it changes form. There are some things you only remove them if they change form. He's using this to explain why the scab that you're doing are not a problem. Because even though you remove the scab, only after it turns into a different kind of scab. So maybe, I don't know how relevant that is to most medical things, but that's a svara, and I'll give you another svara here from Ray Forst in his beautiful summary, the Sefer Meinida. This is a good svara, he says. And again, this is all unlike Egev Kaskasin. Something that replaces part of the body is not chotzitz. A chatzitza is only an egev v'kaskasim v'ispalanis uretia. But what about something that replaces part of the body? A glass eye, a filling in teeth, a prosthetic limb. So maybe, again, it's a tzad l'hakel, right? But that's relevant to a lot of things. And here's the big tzad l'hakel, is maybe, and here's the tricky part, maybe those espolanis and retia and keegev and gaskasim were only if they were short-term. Who says they were long-term? Maybe those only short-term. Maybe if something's long-term, then that's considered enomakbid. That's considered bottle to your guf. So here it's a chiddush, but maybe you could say that the eged v'kaskasim, etc., were short-term. Even though they're very useful, they're short-term. But something you won't remove for a long time is not chotzeitz. What's that for a long time? However many achronim you can think of, that's how many shittos there are. I'll mention some of the shittos, some shittos, and 12 months. These are only the shittos that he quotes there. 6 months, and each of them have a marker of something in Shas about permanence. 3 months, 30 days, 7 days. And if you remember, Moshe said, based on the Zecher Yosef, this is Rav Moshe, based on the Zecher Yosef, not that he passed by this alone, but it was a part of it studded, or, says Rav Moshe, based on the Zecher Yosef in the very first Pesach Teshuva, if I recall correctly in the Siman, or any fixed amount of time. And then you'd have to say that Kaskasim and the Eged were not on for any fixed amount of time. Either, like the Ksav Sofer, you took them off regularly to check, or that, you know, they were just on for, you know, until you were ready to get rid of them. Okay, which is a bit dachuk. Anyway, these are just some of the svaras he brings down. And you see what the post can do is by putting together and mixing and matching all these sudden mahakal and using their judgment, then they come out with chumras and kulas. And you can imagine, on most things, there's a machlokas.
Are these times, also machlokas, are these the times that you have left to keep it on, or something that gets put on for that long?
Right, so I think that's machlokas between Rebbe Yashim and Shlomo Zalman. So even that's not clear. Let me just mention a few common cases. Braces. Right? What about braces? Obviously, if you're lucky, you yotze your braces before you get married. But not everyone's so lucky. So what about braces? Braces is a big machlokas. And of course, braces have one other tzad l'hakel. What other tzad l'hakel do braces have? That they're in a beis hastorim. Why is that a tzad l'hakel? Because according to the Ritva, Beis Astarim, Chatzitz is only Drabanan. So it's one more Tzad Lahakel, right? Plus, you just add, plus, in Beit Astarim, Ein Sol Chatzitza Min HaTorah Lefi Ritva Ve'od. Now again, if this is all Rishonim, we get a bigger Tzad Lahakel, at least we have Rishonim. Right, so that's also a big Tzad Lahakel. So I'll just say, braces, I'll just give you a few examples. Braces is a big machlokas. Maybe I'll give you three or four examples. Braces, according to the, and this is just one he quotes, Shevet Alevi the Minchas Yitzchak, say Mutter. After all, they're on for a long time, and they're in a Beis Hastarim, and it takes an Uman to get them off, and so therefore, you know, there's a lot of Stadim Lahakel. However, the Igris Moshe says it depends what they're there for. If they're there for health, then maybe you call them more of a revise if they're there for health. But if they're there for cosmetic purposes, no. Okay, Lamaisa, we are Mako. There's some, they say Rabbi Yoshua was very machra in these things, and Rabbi Yoshua required you to remove your braces before mikvah. If they're for cosmetic purposes, and he called everything cosmetic purposes, which is probably true of most braces. Anyway, there are those who are machra, but the mice that were makel on braces.
I'm not sure if there's enough community, but according to all these kulas,
all these situations are bidiyah, meaning b'shas adchak. Meaning, if it's not a shas adchak, then avoid it. Right?
Meaning, let's say someone had an appointment to get braces on. Should they change their appointment, or does it matter?
Yeah, they should change their appointment if they can. Although it's not going to help for the next 2 years. But, what?
Yeah,
yeah, no, definitely, this is all if you're stuck. Now, what does stuck mean? What if you're getting your braces off in 2 days? You know? All right, so then you have to use your judgment. And you have to know more. Let me just mention a few other things. By the way, even permanent fillings, which seems pashut, they're permanent. There are some briskers who are machbet on them, and they don't hold from any tzad lahakel on anything, and they hold, not like we've said. Remember I said once, as a Venus Adam says, anything you'd rather not be sick is called machbet. So, okay, but that's not a mainstream sheet at all among any poskim. That's just like a private meeting with some people. Most people agree that's something you're never taking off. That's for sure, in a machbet. This is all things that are eventually going to come up. Let me just mention a few things. Self-dissolving stitches. You know what? Self-dissolving stitches is a big machlokas. Dissolving stitches is a big machlokas. He quotes here from, this is a lot of Mipia Shmua from Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Shevet Halevi, who say it's no problem. Why? Because it's necessary and you're never going to take it off. But he quotes from Rav Yashiv and Rav Karelitz, the Chutshani. He didn't have a Chutshani yet, I don't think. He quoted Mipia Shmua that it's Usher. And we're Makel. He says, for sure, we're Makel and dissolving stitches. There's a lot of stuff in the Hakel. For sure, if it's in the mouth. But even in the rest of the body. Another example is, what about fillings? What about temporary fillings? Okay, temporary fillings. I don't have so much board left. But we'll say something. Temporary fillings, he brings different shitas. Some people are always machmir. Some people say, well, if they're for 30 days, okay. Some say if they're for 7 days, okay. Some say temporary fillings are always okay. Because you have a lot of stuff in the hospital. It's a Beis Hastarim, and it's part of your body, and it's only going to be replaced by something else similar to it, etc. Lamaisa were makel on temporary fillings. Lamaisa were makel on temporary fillings. The two, we'll leave two tricky ones, right? Are what about regular stitches? What are regular stitches? So regular stitches, you don't have a lot of stud in lahakel, like you can't remove it, but it's not going to dissolve by itself. You don't need an umman to remove it. You're going to remove it, like you're going to really remove it. It's not replacing part of the body. Okay, you might leave it for a while. So stitches are a tremendous, tremendous machlokas. Stitches are a big machlokas. Okay, some people are makel if they're roughoy, but I'm not sure that's a mitzias. Is there such thing as stitches that are roughoy?
Occasionally.
Okay, Seder. But that's not so. And some people are make it look like you cut them off and, like, you know, you cut them very close to the skin, but that's not going to help if you actually need the stitches. Right? So, what do? So, Lamaisa, he quotes from Rav Moshe and others who are Macharin stitches, and from Sternbach, who's Mako in your mouth, to the base Hastarim, but not in the regular parts of your body. However, the Badei HaShulchan suggests that if the stitches are in for a while, maybe you can be Mako, because there's something medically necessary. That's Ravise, and there's something which is in for a while. And Rabbi Willig says, with stitches, look, you have to use your judgment. If it's a matter of a short time and people could wait, then you should be machmir. But if it's going to be hard to delay mikvah, then you can be mekel with stitches. And lemaisa, even though a lot of people are machmir about stitches, lemaisa, Rabbi Willig says, anything that's really medically necessary can't be removed. If it's a real tough situation and it would be hard to be machmir, you know, like, fine, a ben Torah could wait a few days. Anyone could wait a day or two, whatever, in normal circumstances. But if it's going to be difficult, then even if you don't have a lot of stud in Lahakel, there is room to be mako. And therefore, even though Ray Force does not quote a lot of Mekilim and stitches, if you look at what Ray Force says about stitches, and this will be the second to last thing we mention, and then the last thing we mentioned, I'm going to need a lot of help from Yosef and the Metzias. Stitches says Ray Force, page 323. Stitches, regular stitches, are a chatzitza. A rav should be consulted. And he says here, some are mako in beis hastorim. And some are machmir even in beis hastorim. And, you know, some are mako if the stitches are loose. Some are mako if you cut the stitches off. But he doesn't put anyone who's mamish mako. The Badei HaShulchan.
Who would be machmir if you cut the stitches off?
Well, because it would be like a coat, like you're worried about. You can't. No, like if they're still inside. Anyway, Lamaisa, are there such thing as stitches that don't go outside your body?
Yeah.
But that you can see from outside your body? No, I don't think so. Okay. Anyway, halacha lamaisa.
They're also usually dissolvable.
Yeah. Halacha lamaisa, Ray Force says basically they're usur, and he only brings thud and lahakel if it's beis hastarim or it's loose. However, the Badei HaShulchan says maybe if they're in for a long time, you can be mako stam. And Ray Willig says, look, since it's difficult, especially nowadays, it causes all kinds of problems, but women can't go to mikvah for a long time. Therefore, if you have something that's really medically necessary and that's not coming off soon, and it's subjectively in your judgment, it's a long time, you could be mako. So halacha lemaisa, according to Ray Willig, you can really be mako in anything that's really medically necessary and that needs to be on for a certain time, and that's not, it's too hard to wait. There's room to be mako. Halacha lemaisa.
Is there any, would it be possible to say, let's say, something that just, like, it's really hard, I don't know, like, you don't even have to cool up, let's say, medically necessary, it's just, like, hard to get off, and say, like, here they're at, like, lowest in your Rabbanon, and this.
If it's impossible to get off, we already saw that, right? The lice. What if it's just hard to get off? That's hard to say. Like, if something's not medically necessary, just hard to get off, then it's really hard to be mako on that. You know? That's much harder to be mako if it's not medically necessary. Okay, so halacha lemaisa, bottom line, let's just put stitches. What are the different shitos quoted by Rav Force? Either usur or mutter rak beis hastarim or mutter rak berafoy. But the Badei HaShulchan says that he thinks ulai yesh lahakel. You know, if they're there for a long time, and Ray Willig stretched that a little more and says, even if it's not a very long time, the Badei HaShulchan, I think, is willing to stretch up to 30 days, but he says the mice, even if they're not there for a very long time, you still, if medically necessary, halacha lemaisa, something that's medically necessary and that has to be there for a fixed period of time, and that it's going to be a long wait if you have to wait for it to be removed, lemaisa, there's room to be mako, and that's how we should paskin.
If something is poking out of the skin, but it's not, like, it's just, let's say you have, like, something coming out of your skin.
That's the chetz coming out of your skin. That's a problem.
That's
yeah, it's even not so pashut. So all of these is dealt with by the poskim. I'm not going to go over it. Now, the one thing that's, meaning that's not automatic heter, right? The one thing that I don't have a great solution for, and Yosef will help me this, Basically, my masseur for egg building is that anything medically necessary that has to be on for a while and that the wait is going to be too long to be practical, you can be Mako. You could stretch to be Mako in these cases so that people shouldn't have to have too much pre-shows nowadays. The one thing which is still very problematic seems to be a cast. What's the problem with a cast? Okay, there are a lot of Achronim who discuss cast. I'm not sure if it seems the Achronim was. There are a lot of Achronim who discuss cast, and many of them have started to be Mako. If it's medically necessary, your leg will break if you take it off, and it's on for a long time, and v'chuli v'chuli. There are many Achronim who are Mako. But what happens if you go into your mikvah with a cast? What happens to the cast? It gets ruined. A plaster cast, right? So I don't know what kind of cast they quote. The problem with casts is that, fine, I can find a lot of Achronim where make them filled with a cast, but the cast will get ruined and then your leg will break. It's not going to help. Anyone ever had a cast? Remember you have to put a plastic bag over it when you shower? Right? It's not waterproof. So that is a big problem. Casts are a big problem. Why are they a big problem? Because a kula won't even help. It'll break the cast. So some people want to stretch. The Shut Mayan Omer, which the Talmud of Ravadia, is more Mekel than Ravadia himself, says maybe you could be Mekel and Ravadia. Well, except there is room to be somach on this, to like put plastic on your cast to protect it. Why? Bitzeref, that maybe a chatzitza on a chatzitza is not a problem. I mean, it's only a problem with a chatzitza on your skin, not a chatzitza on the cast. But once we're Mekel on the cast, maybe you can have a chatzitza on your cast. That's not l'chatchila, but it's a stretch. But Yosef, here's what I can't figure out. If you don't tie the plastic bag on your skin, is there some way you can put plastic to protect your cast if it's not also above your cast, like beyond your cast? Like, is that going to work? You put saran wrap all over your cast, but not on your skin. Will that help?
I mean, if there's like a tight enough seal between the cast and your skin.
Then maybe it will. Okay. Lamaisa, casts are a big problem. It's a radical stretch to permit putting saran wrap on your cast or plastic on your cast, because you can imagine that that's like much more of a cool than everything else, because that you're taking off in 10 minutes, right? And that, although it's indirectly medically necessary, but only for this 2 minutes. And it wouldn't be necessary if you weren't totally. So, okay, lemaisa, when it comes to casts, there's a das yochid that you can put plastic on your cast. Ray Willick said, if you're really desperate and there's no other choice in the world but terrible things, then you can be makel on that. But that's not even always so practical, because you can't put the plastic on your skin and it won't always work. So what do you do with a cast? Lamaisa, you have 3 choices. The one option is get a fiberglass cast instead of a plaster cast. A fiberglass cast is waterproof, so you can tovel in it. And they're even more roughly. Are fiberglass cast, you ever see a fiberglass cast?
Yeah.
Are those roughly or mahuduk? Okay, great. So A, if you can be makel with all the kulas, you can tovel with it. And B, it's roughly, so you don't need so many kulas.
Okay, people like who actually like split their cast. Like, hey, look at me, I split it off.
So a fiberglass cast is the best solution. The only thing is it's not just a matter of your preference, meaning there are certain breaks that you can use a fiberglass cast and certain breaks you can't use a fiberglass cast. So if a woman, a married woman, needs a cast, she should ask for a fiberglass cast. But the answer might be, and they're not being mean in the hospital, the answer might be, no. This kind of break, you can't put a fiberglass cast. That's only for a different kind of break. So that's not an ideal solution. Like, we just tell her, okay, find someone who'll put on a fiberglass cast. But it's not so posh because it doesn't work for everything. You know, Yosef will tell you what kind of things they can use it for and what kind of things they can't. But I've been told that it's not like just a matter of, like, you spend an extra $100 and buy a fiberglass cast. It only works for certain things. Plan B is, this is a big tircha, and you know, I wouldn't tell you to do this tircha for braces, even though Rabbi Yashuv would, but go to a doctor, have them saw off the cast, tovel, and go right back and have them put it back on. There are from doctors who will do this for you. They'll take off your cast for an hour and put it back on. But A, not everyone has access to someone who will do this. And B, even that's not always possible, because you have to check with your doctor if your arm will break if you take it off for an hour. And I'm not a doctor. My impression is that doctors usually say, it depends when. If you need a cast for 6 weeks, they'll say, the first 3 weeks you can't even take it off for an hour. The next 3 weeks you can take it off for an hour. Okay, that's not, and I'm just making up the numbers randomly. So it's not always, the fiberglass cast is great, not always a solution. A cutting off your cast and putting it back is great, but not always a solution. The third solution is that if you can't handle the precious,
There is a Das Yochid out there that if you wrap plaster on your cast, but not on your skin. Sorry, not plastic. If you put plastic on your cast, but not on your skin, you can be Makel. Because maybe it's not also to put a chatzitza on a chatzitza, even though we don't normally pass it that way.
The first thing ever you said?
The first thing I said is a far less cast.
Oh.
Second is cut it off and put it back.
Before
third, right. Third is, I'm just putting in order of, like, that's a much worse solution, is to be somech on a das yachid to cover your cast with plastic. But even that's not always, first of all, a bentor shouldn't be somech on that. And second of all, sometimes that won't even help. Depending on how the cast is, you might not be able to protect it without putting plastic on your skin, which no one's makel. And therefore, the fourth solution is you just have to wait till the cast comes off. And we don't like saying that, especially with Zem. My Masorah from Rabbi Willig is, we take every cool in the book rather than make people have a long time of precious with Zanazeh. Sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes there are no cools in the book. But the fourth solution is just that there's nothing you can do. So casts are the most problematic element that we're likely to deal with because they get ruined by water.
How does it work if one member of the couple is willing to wait, the other one's not?
Then for sure you should be Makel. Because you're just asking for big trouble. Are you kidding? One member of the couple says, no, I'm willing to wait a month. And the other member, it's bad enough that I would have to wait a month because the rabbi said so. If I have to wait a month because my spouse decided that, then oy vavoy, you have to have chachamein and barosha there. That's the last thing you want. You should never create a situation where one spouse is imposing preachers on the other spouse. That's much worse than the rabbi. The rabbi imposing preachers says, it's terrible to manazah. But worse comes worse, they'll hate the rabbi. You know what? Everyone hates the rabbi anyway. But one spouse imposing preachers on the other, that's just bad news. That's asking for all kinds of trouble.
What's the like fundamental change of this Mahatzeh versus what's that based on?
Okay, come back to me in 10 years and you'll understand. That it's a complicated world with Manazad. There's a lot more temptations than there once were. There's a lot more confusion about relationships than there once more. There's a lot more difficulty in marriages than there once was. There's a lot of problems more than there once was. And therefore, I think you have to be very, very, very careful to try to be as makel as you can. This Manazad and these things. Okay, that's my Masorah. I think in 20 years you will agree. Okay, 10 years, probably 20 years for sure, you'll agree with me. You just have to see more of the world. You'd be surprised at how complicated the world is. I don't even mean it necessarily in terms of taivas. It could be in terms of shalom bayis. But a lot of things are complicated nowadays. And whatever we just, you know, we live in a world with a lot of craziness out there and with much less things that are obvious to how we should live our lifestyle than it once was. And it makes it a complicated world. Okay, Viker. So much for chatzitza. Again, you're not going to cover every case of chatzitza. Okay, Chesky. Now we got to get a, since, as I mentioned, this is the penultimate shiur in Hilchos Nida, I want to at least get a start on Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes. Kuf Tzadi Tes is chafifa. Okay, we'll try to be as quick as we can. Chafifa. You have to clean yourself before mitzvah to make sure there's no chatzitza. Okay, seems pretty straightforward. The Gemara says, who made the takana of chafifa?
Ezra.
What about before Ezra? Before Ezra, you could be dirty. No. What did you have to do before Ezra? What's the word in Hebrew? Ion. Right. You got the word? Okay. So, mi de oraisa. It's enough to do Ion, meaning you don't have to clean, you just have to check if it's clean. Okay, if I told my wife, I didn't wash the dishes, I just checked if they were clean, she wouldn't be happy, but me to Oraisa, I'd be Yotze, right? So, me to Oraisa, you need Ion. Takanas Ezra, you need Chatifa. What's the Machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and everyone else in the whole world? Exactly. And it's not even Rashi on Shas, but it's the Rav Shemaya in the Machzor Shemaria and the Machzor Vitri quoted it from Rashi, and it's in Tosfos on the Daf. That's why it's famous. So here says Rashi, Seyar Viguf. Says all the other Rishonim, Rak Seyar. Right? So we assume, not that it's such a big enough to mean like the other Rishonim. No, Ezra Takana Chafifa was only here. What, by the way, it's a little unclear, and the Mechaber's a little unclear. What does it mean, chafifa, here? What was he talking you do more than Ion? There is a minority sheet in the Rishonim that says he means comb your hair. We assume, even though it's not so mefurish the Mechaber, that he meant wash and comb your hair. You have to wash and comb your hair. There are many rishonim in the Gemara like that, and almost all the Rishonim say that, right? That chafifa means you have to wash and comb your hair. That is Takanas Ezra. Then, what does the Gemara say? L'olam. What does Rava say? L'olam. L'olam. This is the biggest raya against Rashi, although we're not going to get to how to answer it, but trust me, you can answer it. He says, what is L'olam? Does L'olam sound like it's the kind of Ezra or just a proper practice? He says, L'olam, a person should. What does that usually mean? A proper practice. It doesn't mean a takana. What does he say? He says, L'olam yilamid adam. What's his exact lashon? And they say base kmatim base astarim. So this is Rava's Leolam, right? Rava Leolam Yalamed Adam Bitoch Beso, meaning the proper practice according to Rava is Tadiach base stareha. Based kmateha. I'm not going to get into the whole discussion, which is not what I said. All of the Taz is based on Ram, based kmateha. Two things or one thing. Either way, it means all the folds. Bemayim. You should wash even the parts of your guf that are based on star and based on kmatim. Oh, why? Based on star aren't so chumr. Then are chumr or kula. It's a matter of how clean they are. The gully parts of my guf are easy to clean. I just go like this, and they're clean. Right? And I check. The folds and crevices are harder to check and harder to clean. Things get stuck. Therefore, you should wash it with water. And how does Rashi win the day? Because the minhag is like Rashi. The minhag, which equals the din lefi Rashi. The minhag is that tadiach, or shirchotz, right? Rechitzas kol haguf b'mayim. The minhag is, like Rashi thinks the din is, you have to wash your whole body with water. Okay, to us that's not such a kiddush. We do that like every day. But in the old days, to do it once a month was an exacting standard of hygiene. Was a big chumrah. Okay, so the minhag is that you have to wash your whole body with water. Nowadays we even use soap. That's the background. And halacha l'maaseh, so we really don't pass like Rashi. Takanas Ezra is only to wash your hair. And Rava's proper advice is only to wash your folds and crevices. But I never heard of anyone who didn't wash their whole body before mikvah. I don't know what would be if you were in jail or something. I don't know. I mean, theoretically, I guess, if b'shas adchak, you could just rely on the din. But I've never heard of that happening. Even in jail, they let you shower. So any place they let you go to the mikvah, they let you shower. Okay, says the Mechaber, you have to wash your armpits and your private parts in water, because those are folds. Add the Maharik v'lobashar mashkim. Does it say this in the Gemara? No. But he says, b'mayim. The Gemara says b'mayim. What does b'mayim mean? He says reasonable diok and not in other liquids. I mean, which of us would bathe in apple juice anyway? Okay, so it seems to have no nafkamina yet. Who would ever bathe in other liquids? Right, but then you would wash in water afterwards. And it once happened to me, and it didn't work as well as I expected. And she has to, we're assuming, wash her hair and comb her hair well with a comb. So her hair should be stuck to each other, shouldn't be tangled. Likewise, she has to be ma'ayin in herself. It's a little unclear what's ba'atul ubibsara. I won't get into it. Clearly, she has to check herself. Ubodek is called gufa samukut. She has to check her whole guf before she tovels. Shelo yehel shum davar mios shechotzes. That there shouldn't be any dirt. That's a chatzitza. B'tochuv kol gufa. She should scrub her whole body. V'tishtav mayim chaim and wash in hot water. B'shas chafifas gufa b'sara. When she scrubs her body and her hair. Okay, she has to bathe in hot water and scrub her body and her hair. Pretty straightforward. The Taz asked a bit of a question here. Why the Mechaber says she has to check her whole body and she has to bathe her whole body. If she has to bathe her whole body, Doesn't that already include that she has, doesn't that also count as checking her whole body? And here there are three answers. What is the Lashon of the Mechaber? Lashon of the Mechaber is L'ayin ba'atzmum sara v'tochuv kol gufa. Isn't that redundant? Right? L'ayin ba'atzma lochuv kol gufa. So the question is that it's redundant. So there are three answers. Says the Taz Enachanami. Hakavana, what do you have to put in? You have to put in IE. Right? Well, the Muhammad says she has to be ma'ayin. How does she have to be ma'ayin? She has to be ma'ayin with Khafifa. Okay, but really you just need Khafifa. You just need Khafifa. And Khafifa is the explanation of Iyun. How is she ma'ayin? By doing Khafifa. Says the Sidrei Tara. I think the Pitzchei Tshuva says the Sidrei Tara here. No. Okay, says the Sidrei Tara. No. The Mechaber really meant two things. No. He says no. Really, you have two chiyuvim. Iyun plus Khafifa. You need two things. Doesn't it make sense to be reversed? He says, yeah, he's not saying them in order. First he's saying the Daraisa, then he's saying the Darabana. It's not in chronological order. You need two things, Iyun and Khafifa. It's not enough to just do Khafifa. You also have to do Iyun. Sounds like a big Chumrah over and above the Taz. Whoa! You have to do Khafifa and Iyun, two things. However, in the end he says something that the Taz also mentions. He says, but Lamaisa, you can be Yotze by being Ma'ayin B'Shas Khafifa. Okay, Lamaisa, it's not such a big homer. You have to do Iyun and Khafifa. What does that mean? If you do Khafifa but don't check during your Khafifa, you scrub yourself but don't check if you're clean, then that's not good enough. But if you check that you're clean while you scrub yourself, that's good enough. I think most people check that they're clean when they do Khafifa. So Lamaisa, the Sidrei Tara is a theoretical chumrah. You have to do two things, not just one thing. But practically, it's not such a chumrah, because most people, when they do Khafifa, they also check to make sure they're clean afterwards. It's natural, I think, even if they're not Jewish and they're not toveling. You know, when you scrub yourself, you also make sure you got clean. Okay. Maybe not. Seder, then it's a chumrah. Okay. Whatever, however it works out. In this case, however, I saw that the Lechem V'Simla has a great shot here. It's just a great shot in the Mechaber. One is the Taz, i.e. two is the Sidrei Tara, two Chiyuvim. Says the Lechem V'Simla. The Lechem V'Simla is a parish, I mentioned this a dozen times already, a parish on Hilchos Zita by the Baal Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. He says, no, of course the Taz is right. Of course Khafifa alone is enough. What do you mean? You don't do Khafifa and Iyun. That's a weird Sidrei Tara. Oh, you have to do Khafifa and Iyun, and you better be Ma'ayim while you do Khafifa. Nah, Khafifa's good enough without Iyun. If you do Khafifa, you're clean. Why do you need to be Ma'ayim? Says the Taz Lechem V'Simla. If you do Khafifa, you're clean. Who needs Iyun? Says the Sidrei Tara, no, you need to be Ma'ayim during your Khafifa, and if you forget, be Ma'ayim afterwards. He says no. So why does Mechaber say two things? He adds something. What two words did the Mechaber add to Iyun and not add to Khafifa? Figure it out on your own? No, kol gufa is by Khafifa. What two words? What? Does he add when he says Iyun and not when he says Khafifa? No, because kol gufa is the same thing. Samach l'tfilasa. How about samach l'tfilasa? Does Khafifa need to be samach l'tfilasa? What if you tovel on the third night of a 3-day Rosh Hashanah? When did you do your Khafifa? 49 hours ago. Right? But when do you have to do your Iyun? Samach l'tfilasa. Your Khafifa, b'di'eved, you kashay, if it's the wrong day in the calendar, you can do not samach. Or b'di'eved, if you're stuck, you can do not samach. Iyun has to be samach. Maybe that's why the Mechaber said two separate things. That makes a lot of sense. But what's he trying to say? Khafifa can be, that's what the rest of the siman is about, can be not samach. But Iyun must be samach. And therefore, even when we're makel to Khafifa shalom b'samach, You have to eon samach, and this is an important thing for the Mechaber to teach us. I know he's going to tell us again, but it's still an important thing to, I just think it's meduyik in the Mechaber, samach letfilasa. Why samach letfilasa there and not again by chafifa? Ah, there's this eon, you should know. That has to be samach. I don't care when your chafifa was. If your chafifa was not 5 minutes ago, you have to do another eon. Right? And therefore, if you're toweling the third night of Rosh Hashanah, you can't do another chafifa. You certainly can't comb your hair, can't wash in hot water, etc. But you have to do a eon of your whole guf. So I think that, and therefore, that's like, it's a good shot. When you're doing chafifa, that includes eon. You don't have to do a separate eon. You don't have to be machped to do eon with your chafifa. But if your chafifa was an hour or a day or 2 days ago, then you have to do another eon samach.
Is it possible to say that, I would say that once they already had eon, then they wanted to be misaki the chafifa on top of it, but they weren't going to, like, you know, take away what they already had? Like, start, like...
That's true, but that, the Mechaber shouldn't be telling us history. That's not the Mechaber.
I'm saying to support, I guess,
the Sidrei Tara, you mean?
Yeah.
No, because the Taz will just say, all Chafifa automatically it counts as Eon, so it's not like they were taking away. Okay. Anyway, let's just, one last thing. Ah, there's a fascinating discussion of the Pesachei Tshuva here, based on a discussion of Hilchos Melichah that remained in our community. What if a woman forgets if she did the proper eon and chafifa? So, halacha l'maisa, this is the question. If she forgets if she did the proper eon and chafifa, he has two tzdadim. So basically, what if she forgets if she did the proper chafifa? She forgets if she did a stage of chafifa. By the way, this can happen all the time for OCD or just forgetful. Right? So, first you want to say, safi d'rabbanan l'kula, chafifa's d'rabbanan. But that doesn't work. Why? Because you can't say safi d'rabbanan l'kula if there's a chezkas iser. So rather, what does he say? He says, sircha nakat. Sircha meaning your pattern. If she started doing the chafifa, we assume she did the whole chafifa. That is halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, if a woman's mesopic, every woman can be mesopic if she did the chafifa, especially if she has a lot of yishamayim, and for sure she's OCD, but even if she's not OCD, she would be mesopic. So, again, there's different kinds of sfeikos. If she mamish has like good grounds for things she didn't, then you have to be done. But some, she's mesopic, she doesn't remember. You know what? I don't remember a lot of things. Ask me at 10 o'clock every morning if I remember if I said Tain Talamotra and Shachris. Of course I don't. It's been a long time since Shachris. But Mistama I did, because it's the Sircha that I've been doing it for since Sukkos. So likewise, ask the woman, did she remember to clean her nose, to clean her toenails, etc.? She doesn't remember. But the Sircha, if she went to the mikvah and did her preparations, but Mistama, she did all her preparations like her pattern. And therefore, we're Mekel, if about a Safek Chafifa based on Sircha Naka. Not she forgot if she prepared for mikvah or not. Well, who would ever forget that? I mean, she did preparation. She says, there's one thing I'm not sure if I cleaned. The answer is Sircha Naka. We can assume you did.
Do you need to be experienced enough mikvah goer to like have that status? Or like it's only, when you live in their first year, is it same thing true?
Do you need to have done it three times? Pashas, you need to have done it at least a few times. Okay, if not, then you'll have to use your judgment. But make sure not to let people go OCD on you.
Would one be able to extend the Ramban from Chatita to this?
Yes, definitely. Anyway, one thing he says at the end here, though, is if a woman's Masufik, she did Eon, meaning she's Masufik, she did Chafif or Eon, she's Masufik, she did anything, that would be more of a Chashash Daraisa, then you'd have to deal with it more seriously. But again, you have to be very careful. Whenever someone says, I'm not sure if I did X, I'm not sure if I did Y, you have to be very, very careful, because usually it's just excessive worrying and not a real suffix. But, okay, suffix hafifa at least, you have sircha nakat, and maybe suffix rabban lekula, even though it doesn't really work, and it's only drabanan, so there's many tzadim lehata. Suffix, if she did anything, she said, maybe I wasn't chofit or ma'ayin, then it's a little trickier. So we'll leave that with Tzarkiyun. Base. Okay, we'll have to stop here. What? Sorry, Theon. Yes. Okay, we'll have to do Bayes and stop, even though we're saving a lot for next time. Just because the hour's late. But Bayes is quick. It looks long, but it's quick. When you wash your hair, you shouldn't use cold water, because it tangles your hair. You should use hot water. It's okay if it was heated by the sun. Good thing nowadays, because we all use a dun shemesh. You shouldn't use this kind of detergent that's called in Arabic kafal, uvalaz girda, and it's called in German girda, or whatever laws he was quoting, the Rivash. I know what was the laws of the Rivash, not German. Lefisha mechate chaser, because it cuts the hair. These are weird kinds of detergents that cut the hair, v'chozer mesabach, and then it goes back and gets tangled. V'ahal lefisha mesabach chaser, that tangles the hair. V'lobacholzer mesabach chaser, not with anything else, that tangles the hair. Halacha lemaisa, two things about this. A, and the Ramah v'chozer lechachila. This is all just a chash lechachila. V'chofa v'nesu v'tiyotzer v'rosa v'atzer v'shein sar shalakshur v'sumachim shari. Even if she used these improper detergents, but she checked and saw her hair was not tangled, it's okay. And B, the post can assume nowadays we don't have any of these things. We don't have. You could buy it in a chemistry lab. But I'm saying the things they sell, the normal soaps and shampoos that they sell nowadays don't have any of these things, so we don't have to worry about them. As long as you're not, using something from chem lab, then you are okay. So that's not so relevant nowadays. What about... Shar Mashkin. What about Shar Mashkin? Right, so the Gemara says, water, not cold water, and not Neser, and not Ahal. What about Shar Mashkin? What about Yayin? So we know the Ramah already added from our Rick earlier or not. But it doesn't say anything in the Gemara. So here we have what might be a Machlokas. The Torah says you can't use Shar Mashkin. The Marik says, Me'ikritin, you can use Shar Mashkin. So the Bach says... there's no machlokas between them. So what about Shar Mashkin? Says the Torah, no. Says the Maharik, he thinks really yes. Oh, he admits, it says, B'mayim, you can't use Beis Hastarim. Beis Hastarim is more cracks and crevices, you can't use it. There, everyone agrees. Yes, for here, no, for Beis Hastarim. And therefore, the first Pesachei Tshuva says, he would also say yes for the body that is Goli, for the revealed body. Right? For, yes for here. And he doesn't say this. That's the first Pesachei Tshuva says very logically. And revealed body. What's his Svara? In Beis Hastarim, his cracks and crevices, other mashkin get stuck. So they might have a little stickiness. But for here, it's okay. So that's Machlokas. Are they arguing or not? The Bach says there's no machlokas. The Torah just means if they tangle your hair, it's usher. And the Marik means if they don't tangle your hair, it's mutter. The Beis Yosef says there is a machlokas. They're arguing in din. The Torah says absolutely usher. The Marik says mutter, meaning the machlokas what the Torah said. The Bach says the Torah is the same as Marik. It's okay if it doesn't tangle your hair. It's bad if it tangles your hair. The Beis Yosef says no. The Torah usher across the board. Halach l'maisa, what do we paskin? We paskin like the Marik if you are stuck. When if you're stuck, says the Marik, says the Ramah, the Isha Sivas or Roshul talk of Rosh Bamayim. The doctor said it's dangerous. She can't use water. Rak b'yayim, and she can use wine. I don't know if nowadays any doctors would say that, but in those days they did. Yeshlisha l'rof b'yayim sab chasaris. You should ask the doctors if wine tangles the hair. From Omer she'inu b'sabich is yismuch aleim. You can rely on them if they say it doesn't tangle your hair. Meaning, he said, remember, the Bach thinks the Torah also thinks this. The Beis Yosef thinks he doesn't. Let me say this a little better. And then we will. And yes, if it doesn't tangle. What did the Torah mean? Beis Yosef says, across the board, no. And then there's a machlokes. The Bach says, if it tangles, and then he's not disagreeing with Marik. Either way, we hold like the Marik. And therefore, if the doctors say we trust them, and if not, we may interrupt him became a daughter, Yeshla Isha Lanasos La'atzma. Tchila, Imayayin, Imasav Chasaros, then the woman should try it three times, and when she's not going to mikvah, see if it tangles her hair or not, and if it doesn't, then it's okay. Says the Shach, you can't ask other women, because everyone's hair is different. That's a lot of insight, more insight than I have into women. I don't know how the Shach knew these Ruzin, but every woman's hair is different. So even if another woman's hair doesn't get tangled, you have to try three times on your own hair. Okay, we'll have to pick up with the very practical and yonim that start with Sif Gimel, Amir Tashem on Sunday. So we have till Sunday to finish Hilchos Nida. And on Sunday Shir, hopefully we won't have to go too long, and we will try to finish to the end of Simin Reish. What?
I found it funny that you said you're about to rush.
That is ironic.